All right, fellas, I'm in. Hey, we already got a caller on the line. Let's see who we got. We got area code 757. Who we got?
Hello, yes. I was watching your show. Yeah. I was actually watching the other show earlier, and when they were talking, I mean, you were being very rude. I mean, you guys wearing your hats. I mean, you're just not listening. I mean, you got to hear it out. And you're talking about these insults. I mean,
hey, sir, can you make some adjustments on your phone? You're going in and out.
I mean, you're calling us incels, but you're taking all the women from us. What do you expect us to do, huh?
I'm not taking women. Can y'all hear me?
What? We're taking all the women.
It's just not
being.
Y'all are taking all the women from us.
And
you're calling us incels. And we're trying to do our best. Come on.
Oh, look at your ass, man. I'm like, man, you sound like shit on there. I'm like, I can't.
Right.
I'm like, look.
That's why.
But what I was getting ready to tell him is.
Man, you're taking all the women from us. What do you expect? Wait, what?
Is you got guys, literally, man, you got these guys that are throwing their. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay.
Man.
All right, you got some guys that are throwing their money around. Literally, they're driving the price of vagina sky high, bro. So
yeah.
It's going to continue to increase the incel population, especially a regular blue-collar dudes. So these motherfuckers are going to be multiplying like gremlins if you feed them after midnight. So. Hey, that's what's happening, man. Like, you really going to have to. Hey, look at him.
It's your ass.
Hey, it's him. He's the guilty party right here, man. Hey, but yeah.
You take all the women from us. What do you expect? What? I was like, well, huh?
Hey, look, man. Hey, CJ, I does this, brother. I does this, and I'm back. Look, I'm going to take advantage of this power vacuum right now because a lot of these brothers need to switch to some good leadership. Since you're looking for a leader, there's some good leaders out here. Yeah. Let's keep going with these folks, man. Jason the Black and just Pearly Tate. Like I said, when they said something about that white girl, but them niggas.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. It's a good thing I wasn't there because that would have triggered me. As soon as they mentioned that white chick's name,
I'm not with the Talking Point Mafia at all. They're starting to get sick of me for trolling them. Excuse me. Are you on your purpose, sir?
Yes. I'm resting in my masculinity. I stepped into my masculinity.
Oh, okay, resting your masculinity.
I rested in my masculinity on my purpose.
You have the bag. You do have the bag, don't you, sir?
When niggas wake up and all they do is go to work, that's what tripped me out. There's nothing wrong with holding a 9-to-5, but niggas literally act like they creating something besides a way to get to fucking work to help somebody else build their dreams. And I don't mean to take an elitist standpoint on that, but, you know, just be real about, you don't have to lie to kick it. You don't have to lie to kick it, bro. That's all I'm telling these guys, man. But until then, man, I'm going to stay on my purpose and go after this and get this bag, man, because the price of a brick just went up. You know, this is just like pimping. You know, we pseudo-pimping these hoes out here, man, and we don't like pimps at the same time.
He says price of the brick goes up. He's got a wall full of Jordans talking about black culture is trash. Like, what you talking all about? Oh, like, come on. But the price of the brick going up. Price of the brick? You selling yayo or something?
But
I mean,
you know, for letting niggas like this continue to thrive and survive, black culture is trash.
Yeah, we do.
Because we don't take out the trash.
Big Mike, for everyone that drops, two go in. It's a factory.
Yeah.
Derrick Jackson, after whatever happened, his subscriber count went up because they still want what he got to offer.
Right.
It's a feelings-based world. It's not about reality. It's what it's going to be. It's going to get worse. It's feelings-based.
Right, which is why we can never get nothing but about two of the six niggas on the panel to understand that America's a nation of laws. It's not about how you feel. It's not about the principles you have in your mindset. You know what I'm saying? It's about laws and how you can maneuver through that situation. So, yeah, you're definitely right, man. It's a feelings-based situation. And, you know better than the female. Actually, females are better in feelings-based environments than men. They perform better.
Comparison, and I gotta say this: listen, wait. If you again, you got the only thing reference you have is what you've been told, nigga. You weren't there. You don't got no fucking time machine. So the same argument.
The nigga like he got on hot pink lipstick.
You make it makes no sense. Even case of them transferring.
Hey, when I told him I had a history degree, watch how they start attacking. Instead of saying, oh, let us know what you've learned. That was a threat to them niggas. You see what I mean? When I said that, now all of a sudden, I'm being a certain way. As opposed to just trying to put my credentials out there, all of a sudden now I'm being a certain way to them. Check out how the ties changed. Let's go.
And the slaves from motherfucking Africa to America or to the Caribbean, then America, how many were lost? How many died? How many were great? How many were fucking just thrown over the side? Hold on, bro.
How many came?
Bro, that's what I'm trying to. You don't know, so you can't. You cannot even quantify.
Bro, I got a degree in history.
Brother, so this is what you can tell me. Then hold on. I'm glad you said that. I got a PhD, brother.
You see that? You see that? But listen to how he asked the question, and then listen to how I destroy his ass. We're researching methodology, which is what the fuck I was trained in. I paid to go to fucking school.
Tell me how many people were killed in the process of the transatlantic slave trade.
How many people came in?
So he's not going to allow me to set the research up the right way. He want me to answer the question that he doesn't even know how many people came. But he wants to know how many people died. This is the twisted logic. And this is just Bibb County Public Schools, Georgia here. That's a good one. Hold on, let me zoom in on that. Look at that mouth. Oh, like a big mouth bass.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, brother, answer a simple question, please.
You want
to
learn
respectfully. Brother, respectfully. Brother, I'm trying to ask, I want to learn the question I'm about to ask you. I'm going to ask it again. Brother, tell me how many slaves died on the trip from Africa to here. Go.
Knows.
All right, nigga. Thank you.
Okay, but Bernard doesn't want me to respond. He wants to put a break in between the response. So you basically letting this nigga drop the mic on some bullshit. This is why these hoes don't want y'all niggas, bro. They don't want y'all. Ho can see through the bullshit. Y'all can't see through it.
How many black people had a degree in history during segregation? Damn, good question. Okay, here's the deal. Fantastic. Why is that such a significant question? I guess.
Okay.
Just...
So the good question was how many black people got a degree in history during segregation.
I think he was referring to the first question.
He was referring to me saying I had a degree in history.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the first question.
How many died on the way here? Why is that such a significant question?
20% died.
I'm going to tell you why, Bernard. They're saying that Jim Crow is worse than slavery because so much violence happened and so many things happening or whatever. Speculated, right? And you could possibly put some type of...
He says it's speculated, but he just told you he's the fucking authority on the panel about Jim Crow because his mama went to a segregated school in Macon, Georgia. Did y'all not hear that? You know, violence or whatever. You know, wada. Okay. That's speculative, bro.
Let him lay it out.
I'm talking about speculative from a numbers perspective. You get an approximation of how many lynches, how many bombings, how many whatever, and the bodies that were lost in it, in the process of Jim Crow, which is a very, very short time in comparison to hundreds of, at least 100 years of slavery. Now, the slavery process doesn't just start in America. It starts from the transatlantic, the process of taking them from Africa and then bringing them over here to get to America. Being that you cannot quantify how many people, what happened to them, killings, like I say, rapings, all these different things and whatnot, what have you, okay? There's no way for you to say indefinitely or for certain it was worse because you don't even know from where it began to the end result.
Hold on. Time out.
All right. Big Mike drop got next. But real quick. Shout out to Lionel Player One with the $20 super chat. Appreciate that. He says, I find it scary how people that look like us want to scale down the extent of slavery. Well, it's slavery and Jim Crow. That's not what's happening here. It's a debate over which one was worse, which I still kind of think is a weird debate. I mean, anyway. He says, only because they feel it was embellished and don't want it used against their argument. Do we say this to the you-know-who?
The small hat.
Yeah, the small hat. Yeah, got it. Understand your point. Thank you for the $20 super chat. All right. Appreciate you coming through, dropping something on it. Hold on, wait. Real quick. Got a programming thing. Something didn't look right about that. Hold on, wait. Time out. This ain't got
I think it's interesting Bernard got a pimp cup. But when I told them that Simple the P needs to be at the next Black Manosphere meeting, he was the one who had a problem with the pimp. Oh, my God.
Nothing to do with y'all. This is just me playing around with controls in the back. Hold on.
Hold up.
Okay. All right. I just had to check something. All right. Thank you for the $20 super chat. Do appreciate that. Thank you for the $20 super chat. Do appreciate that. All right. Go ahead, Big Mike Drop. Then we're going to go to Patriarchy right. Strikes Back.
Let me rock for a sec without being interrupted so I can complete the thought. What I'm saying is the brother was asking, and like I said, when you start studying things like this, you got to find out how many people came to the United States, the Atlantic, from Africa to the United States. So between 1619, which is the record year of slavery starting, it was actually people that were brought over here before then, but 377,000 people were brought from Africa to the United States of America. So if you take that and you divide it by 20 or multiply it by 20%, that'll get your number as to how many people died.
You see what I'm saying?
So
working numbers like 20%.
They didn't get that. You see that shut them up for a minute? They had to think of something else to come back for with that. Now, the brother Christian was on it. He was on it.
Of people didn't survive the Middle Passage. So, that's the working number.
So the working number, so we take 377,000 and we multiply it by 20%. That gives you your number. That's how we study history. That's research and methodology.
Did you multiply it yet?
He's not even citing it.
Did you multiply it?
Oh, you can get it on slavevoyages.com.
Slavevoyages.com. And where did they get it from?
I don't know where they got it from. I'm sure
okay.
they
That's the problem. Letters,
but they have footnotes. They have footnotes.
I got it from people with history degrees.
They have footnotes, so you can get into the footnotes.
You,
but
you hear
sure
that?
They
have that from people with history degree. Niggas get mad, bro. I don't get this.
Yeah, hey, Big Mike. You can't have with the robots and with the some who can have one or two or three arguments. You can't go 6-7 levels deep in an argument with those type of people. It doesn't work.
Right.
Especially when it's 4 or 5 against one. And the number one thing when they're losing an argument at this point, or when they know you know something, they're going to talk over you. You're not getting that mic back.
Right. Now, they ain't going to give you the mic back. They want to keep you silent. Then it starts becoming a filibuster. But can we call them hobots from here on out? Y'all got a problem with that? Y'all, you good with that, Mendra? Hobots? I don't know, man. Drill sound like he on mute or something.
He compiled it from thousands of sources. How many thousands of slave ships have to travel for 25 million people to get over? That shit don't even make sense.
No, I agree.
Right. So once you start doing the math and realize the math don't math on that, most of these Black people here, we were already here.
I don't know about that in America.
In America, yes. Every other continent on the fucking planet besides Europe, indigenous people are brown.
Okay,
on the planet.
What do you mean they're brown? But there's a difference in brown. Excuse me. There's a difference between brown people and black people. There's a difference in texture of hair. There's a difference of, like, what are you saying? They're brown.
No, no. So, what you're doing, Aaron.
Hey, and Trey, in the NBD. So he said 37K nut to butt, but 12 months chained together. How did they eat poop or piss? No, we're talking about 377,000 from 1619, the year on record, to 1803, the year that slavery was outlawed. Slave trade was outlawed in 1803. So between 1619 and 1803, that's not even 200 years. And it was actually long periods of time, decades even, between some of those voyages.
I'm not trying to talk down on you, but the biggest mistake we make talking about history is using today's mind and terminology to talk about yesterday. There was no such thing as color back in those days. There was not a race or racial factor back in those days when this started. It had nothing to do with race because it didn't exist as a concept. So you're talking about Mexican brown.
I'm talking
about complexion.
Okay, so you're just going strictly based on, so if you're going strictly based upon complexion, right?
Complexion.
Okay, yeah. So are you telling me that what people identify as in terms of being black here, are you telling me they look the same as
Wait, hold on real quick. Fantastic. Did you mean to be dropped down? Like, look up. You see what I'm saying? Like, Fantastic wasn't talking about a goddamn thing. Give me a thumbs up. I was about to bring you back up, and I didn't know if you – you ready? Thumbs up?
Big Mike, I had a question.
Is that
a,
yes, sir.
What do you mean by people bring today's mindset into history talk? And I'll personally plead guilty. I'm not your history guy. Just not.
Yeah.
But when it goes deep into history, I'm not going to talk.
Right.
I just won't be talking because I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, what do you mean by that?
So – people, and let's just take 1940, for example. Let's just say we were talking about something that happened in 1940. We can't really put our mindset. We have to do a lot of background information, compiling to even understand the mindset of people in 1940. You see what I mean? So, like, the number one thing people say, I'm not my ancestors, or I wouldn't have been a slave. I would have did this, and that. You can't do that. You can't take today's mindset as a free man and apply it to somebody who was enslaved and a system of slavery and come out with an accurate outcome. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be able to form an accurate thesis unless you can start doing things like finding out. It's a word that we use, zeitgeist, the spirit of the times. If you don't understand the spirit of the times, you're not really going to be able to talk about that time with any sense of authenticity, I guess you could say. I guess that would be the word you use. You know, you're just somebody who's kind of an outsider looking in a fishbowl and making an observation. So when you're a historian and you're studying history, especially when it comes to writing history, when you start writing what you research, where it could be put out there in public and be challenged, you have to soak yourself, immerse yourself in the time frame. So a lot of people that write books, people that write movies do it as well. Stephen King is really good at that. He will take and just, he's not going to watch anything, you know, from any time period but the 50s, right? If he's writing about the 50s. He's going to take his experience that he lived through the 50s. He's going to start watching movies from the 50s. He's reading newspapers from the 50s. He might, you know, read letters from the 50s or watch commercials. Things like that in order to make his fictional story more believable, right? So when you're an historian and you're trying to tell a real historical story, you have to kind of be immersed in that time frame to get an accurate depiction of that. I hate it. That was the long version, but that, yeah.
No, that makes sense. I think people are doing that in reverse, too.
Yes.
They're trying to take 1995 and apply that to 2023. And
yes. Times have changed. Yes. Old niggas is worse at that.
But I get it.
Yeah. But, you know, when we're talking about, that's why it's so dangerous for the uneducated to have these discussions in such a public place, especially if you're not going to listen to somebody who's trying to help. You see things in a way that's going to make you not sound like an ignorant motherfucker. Excuse my French. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to stop y'all niggas from sounding ignorant so y'all could get hoes. I'm married. I'm good. I got 99 problems. A bitch ain't one of them. Dirty folks in the building. What's happening, Dirty?
How you feeling, guys?
Man, good. What's happening with you, brother?
Man, I just came up here to say, especially that nigga Patriarch, but in general, my boy coined a phrase called the only good man, because we do this show, Two Married, Two Single, with two married dudes who think they better than single dudes because they got trapped by a baby and got married, right? So my man come to me one day, he said, yo, the problem is guys don't want to be better. They just need to defame you so they look like the only good man. So when I look at the guys on there, that's that only good man. Patriarchy argues with everybody on their platform. I've never seen him not on a platform and not tell a man that he's not a good as man as him. He wants to be the only good man with no research, no development. So I'm watching you argue with him. And I went through that. You know what I'm saying? I had a situation. I was on Hood Servative Show. He did it to me. Then he did it on Ramil's show. He's done it he liked going on Bernard's show because Bernard would give him quarters. You know what I'm saying? But that's what he does. He's not, the crazy thing, he's not even a troll. He just moved like a baby boomer.
Right.
Well, dirty folks, money's not that much of a weapon in YouTube. Power, fame, all that stuff, sometimes it can be, but this is your weapon right here, this.
The mic.
Hey, that's a pretty nice mic, bro. I need to get my game up, bro.
Person with a mic. No, meaning person who can say whatever in this feelings-based environment wins. That's how this works, if you're talking about actual debates.
Right.
If you talk, excuse me, not actual. If you're talking about YouTube debates.
Right.
Well, you win, Mike, nigga. So y'all got bigger guns than me. I got this little pea shooter. Y'all got
the not necessarily the actual mic. What I'm saying is...
I know what you're talking about, man. I'm just saying, though, y'all mic's better than my mic, so I need to step up. So
I can be broke, but I'm on the microphone, I'm a millionaire.
My mic got to be bigger than your mic, so I'm better than you. So I got to get my mic game up so I can be better than you.
Hold on, let me get information, man, on you.
Yeah, dirty folks. My mic bigger than yours, dirty folks.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, Bars, Bob. Big Mike. That's hilarious, man.
Yeah,
that's
man. That's my boy, man. Bob, man. It's good to see Bob back on here, man. But, yeah, man, I wish you would have been there, Dirty, man. I think you were in the comments, though. You heard it. But
yeah, I was in the comments for a minute, but I had to do my show, so I dipped off. I didn't have time to play with Bernard today.
Yeah, man, like, literally, that's what you're going to be doing is playing. And like I said, I ain't trying to dog my boy, man, but like I said, if y'all really want to build an army, man, y'all going to have to get some tacticians over there. Some people that can come up with a strategy. If not, what are we doing this for?
Hey, Mike.
Yo.
If the mic is the weapon of choice and it's an emotion-based environment, even with the men, knowledge is important, but emotions come first.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right.
Meaning, you can say something that makes sense. But if it doesn't appeal in it or go into a certain way, it doesn't go in.
Right. Right.
That's what it is.
Right. That sounds like females talking about dick. They don't go in a certain way. They just act like females.
Yeah.
This is feminine energy at its highest, bro. And I hate that Freeman was offended that I said black male leadership is deficient. But a lot of y'all niggas look at your life and tell me. Tell me I'm wrong. Better yet, show me I'm wrong. Because
Mike,
obviously,
trust me, I get it. Because I asked somebody about it, a comedian I know. I was like, bro, it's like, you know, a lot of women raised men or women thinking men or women dudes who are wrapped up around women. I talk to women like a woman. You expect me to talk to these men like women? And he was silent. I was like, oh my God, this is what it's come to. You have to talk to men like women now to get your point.
Yeah. You have to coddle niggas. You have to soften niggas up. You got to call them sweetie and all that bullshit.
Yeah. You haven't, like, my thing is you just now figuring it out. Scam.
I knew.
Bruh. I figured that out last year.
I knew
not too long after I first appeared on YouTube. You got to talk. These dudes are like women. You have to talk to them like a woman. You have to, because they don't comprehend. Again, if you're not yelling and screaming at them, or you're not talking to them like a woman, they don't understand what you're talking about.
Have you ever heard a man give another man an ultimatum? That's on some random shit. That's usually something women do.
Yeah.
It's either her or me. You know what I'm saying? These dudes, either you're this or you're that. Do you that. You know what
Pick
I'm saying? It's the same shit, bro. It's the same shit. Niggas offering ultimatums. It's a total feminine way of communicating. Like I said, if I was a chick, I wouldn't fucking be interested either, niggas.
It's a manipulation tactic where a lot of people seek acceptance and validation. So if you don't agree, you must be one of them simps over there.
Right.
And they expect you to fall for it because you got something to prove.
Right.
As little men stand on something.
Right. Agreeing with you ain't going to make me no difference whatsoever. It's not going to impact the way I eat. It's not going to impact whether I pay my bills, anything like that. Only until you got something over me that you could take from me can you ever check me and hold me accountable. And that should be how every man feel. If you can't take nothing from me, you can't hold me accountable. That's just the truth of the matter.
That's
well, the thing is, Mike, these guys, like I told Scam before, I said, the scariest part is that these guys think they're right. And you can't tell them anything. They don't learn. Like, it's been a year since I first came up on YouTube. Just a year. And everybody's saying the same thing. They all got the same talking points. They all sound the exact same. They're all saying the same shit. No one has learned anything. That's why you see my sister. She used to be on panels and go on panels all the time, but she quit like months ago. She's like, I was like, why are you backing off YouTube? She said, ain't nobody learning nothing. There's no point. You can't talk to these people. I said, thank you. You figured that shit out. She said, yeah. She said, you're right. You're right about that. I'll give you that. You was right. People aren't learning. People aren't listening. And, you know, people look at me like, oh, you're different. I'm like, yeah, because there's some conversations that are just not worth my time. Well, I could be spending my time. I'm spending my time doing shit that's going to make me money. Doing shit that's going to elevate my mind, make me a better person. You know what I'm saying? I can be spending my time doing all that. Like you called me and told me you was going live today. Where was I, Mike?
At the gym. Is that the
thing? Thank you. Right.
I need some of that mentor money so I can get a bigger mic.
It's a different set of wiring. Like, growing up, like, I was small. I wasn't athletic at all. And there was people older than me that lifted weights. Hey, how you get big? Lifted weights. Solution to a problem. A process. So I started lifting. Later on, I got big. That's pretty simple. But the way a lot of people are wired now, hey, I'm overweight, sloppy, and greasy. What's wrong with this? First, somebody else's fault. Second, let me find somebody to enable this, whatever. If somebody else's, like, the wiring is not even for solutions at all. The wiring is for emotions and acceptance.
Right.
So therefore, it's someone else's fault. How come they're not accepting this fact? Matter of fact, who said it was fat? You're going by European standards. Duh, Europeans fat too.
Right.
What are we talking about? They're getting fat. But that whole process, then when you got 3 and 4 people enabling it, then when you create monsterless environments that enable it and then take your money, then expect that to be their norm. Because that's what's going in all the way into their subconscious mind. Now you're having generations growing up into that. That's their default. They grew up in that.
Right.
And you're trying to tell them something that makes direct sense. You can't tell them that direct. You got to pitch them some BS and then buy them and ease them into it. And I get it. People don't want
to
do it.
And that's why it's going to be so easy for me to start a slave plantation, bro. I keep telling y'all, man, y'all need to go ahead and subscribe.
There already is one.
I know, right? But I want my own, man. I'm my own man. I want my own slaves under my own logo.
Now, I get it because these slaves are fat. They're lazy.
You know what's so crazy about the fat girl argument? Black girls want to be fat at an 80% clip and tell you that. It's body shaming if they're not fat. But if you get a fat white girl in Iowa or something, they say all you can get is a fat white girl. Shit, all I can get is a fat black girl according to your standards. Like, what the fuck is wrong with
that? Hey, World Class says sign language. Sign, pandering, simp, disingenuous, conflating, women control access to sex, men control access to relationships. Boom, fuck niggas, starter pack. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a fact. That's a fact. And then get you some a wave cap and some grease, some pomade, and put it on there too. Right, never mind. I'm gonna stop. I'm not gonna go personal.
How's that, man? I sell pomade too, man.
I'm not gonna go personal. I'm not gonna go personal.
Here's the thing, and I got to piggyback up what Scam said. Men, a lot of men forget that third P because women don't teach it, right? So you hear provide and protect, but you never hear problem solving, right?
Men, critical thinking. They don't have any. But go ahead.
That's men's job is to see a problem and create a solution for a problem. That's what rational thought is. When I listen to these guys, I say, yo, that's how slavery happened. Slavery was a black woman's tour de France. That was the apex of black women's American existence was slavery because they ran slavery. They ran white men. The only person that can stop a black woman is a white woman. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Dirty Folk, before all them P's, protect and divide, and protect, provide, and all these two talking points, attract and communicate come first. But no one on YouTube will ever tell you that.
Right.
Well, no, they tell you about communication, but they can't communicate. Provide and protect is like...
No, if you can't attract and then connect and communicate, which are pretty much the same one, there is no protection provision. The P's go out the window.
Well, I agree with that. But they're willy-nilly with it. I did so early.
But providing is not a man's job. Y'all do know that, right? Women have historically been the providers. Like, provision just means the ability to see into the future, which men historically haven't really had much need to plan for the future because men's life was short, violent, and brutish in many ways. So the women had to make sure that the families could make it into the future. So provision is not necessarily something. That's a feminine trait that feminism has pushed off onto men, and it's just been a financial thing, but it has nothing to do with just finances. It's actually a woman's job to provide.
So, okay. I'm the opposite of world class. He's about what words really mean. I'm always about implied meaning. So somebody says provide, I'm thinking about bringing resources in the household. Funding the house, gathering honey, if you're talking about old times, or now it's cash and lean.
But the men weren't the gatherers. The men were just the hunters. The gatherers were the women.
Okay, 2023, what do you take provide as?
What I take provide as?
Yeah, what is provide in 2023?
You know, I'm living in this era, so I do understand that it's, you know, you want to make money and you want to bring money to the crib. But provision is a little bit deeper than that when you really start thinking about it. I'm not trying to get into etymology or anything like that. I'm just trying to say that, okay, a man can buy a house, but a man can't make a what?
A home, but that's
a
not his job
make
to gather.
A home. Right. It's not his job to gather and provide that to make the home. You see what I mean?
Fair.
Women have typically done just as much work as men, especially in agrarian society.
And I agree with that part. But I'll flip it, though, because I don't believe that women see three steps ahead. So I can't necessarily say that I believe that women were the foreseers. I can't imagine that.
Do you have a woman?
I'm
just asking a question. I'm not trying to clown you.
No, I've had women. I've been with women for years.
I haven't had to worry about whether toilet paper was in the house for the past 5 fucking years. That's never something I've ever had to worry about. That's what I'm talking about. It's the little things that you don't necessarily see that are put in the place that allow you to get out and hunt, that allow you like to be comfortable to hunt.
For her to gather my dirty socks off the floor, I appreciate that. That's her job. But I don't necessarily – okay, I'll tell you this, because I said this before. It's my job to worry about the big stuff. It's her job to worry about the little stuff. So while I'm trying to figure out, yo, how we going to buy a house, it's her job to make sure that, you know, it's in the house, the accommodations we have are clean, that, you know, that I got clothes to go to work in. That's her role. My role is bigger, but her role is no less important. As my dad used to say, that women are the specialists in repetitive tasks. You can have a woman do the same thing every day and she feels accomplished. Men want to conquer new territory. There's nothing wrong with the day-to-day tasks that make everything happen. Like right now, they sell all type of apps, and they promote the apps as, are you tired of doing all this administrative work, this daily grind? Use this app and we'll take all the tedious things out. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with making things more efficient, more effective. But I've never seen them as big thinkers. Never.
No, I've dated some big thinkers. I can't say it. As much as I roast the nation in Wigwam, I don't spend time dealing and dating none of that. So the woman that I've dated, some of them I probably should have married. I'm going to say good things about them. And they were intelligent. They were smart. And they had a lot to offer. So I just won't say all women, the women can't do this, the women. Most of them, yeah. Most of them garbage. Most of them ain't garbage, too. But there are women out there that have a lot to offer. That is a fact. It's just not enough of them. It's hard to find. You got to find them. But there are some valuable women out there.
Right. Now, a guy that goes to a corporate job every day, and like I said, I'm not trying to disparage anybody who has a 9-to-5. I believe in that. But a man who goes to a corporate job that he's hired by somebody, he went through the interview process, he went to school, got the skills, got interviewed, they liked him, they put him on, they give him a paycheck. Is he really a hunter? Can he really scratch something out? Can he really scratch out that paycheck if it weren't for another person hiring you to do a job, a repetitive task?
That is subjective depending on what his outside goals are. I mean, everybody needs a place of origin.
Yeah, I'm neutral on it. This is why. In today's society, they've made it to the point they're overpaying employees to do forms of nothing. So there are jobs that pay really good money, and out of an 8-hour workday, you might be working an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's not a bad deal. Then you can take that money and do something else or work on something else. But also, everybody's not cut to be a business owner.
No, everybody's not cut to be it, but we're talking about how people are classified. It's not really about whether, you know, I'm not saying one's better than the other. It's really about classification, because a lot of that has an impact on your mentality as a person. Somebody who's had to get it out the mud is going to have a totally different mentality than somebody who's kind of had the way made for them. And like I said, if you got to hunt for what you eat every day, that's a different type of man. That's a different type of beast.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean that a person with a job can't, meaning if they lost it and times change, it doesn't mean they can't go out there and hunt.
Well,
they're just going to be rusty. Your knife's going to be dull, but it doesn't mean that they can't or that they won't.
It's just going to take time. I think Dirty Folks brought up this point about a pig. If you let a pig free, eventually it's going to start growing tusks and thicker hair and thicker skin if it's in the wild. If you take a pig out the pen and let it in the wild, it's eventually going to grow the tools that it needs to survive in the wild. But that takes time. That's evolution over a period of time. So I'm not saying that a man can evolve there, but I'm mainly talking about security and what you really provide by having a job versus what you could provide if you're resourceful enough to get out there and get it on your own. This is just black male leadership. This is what I'm talking about, and I'm talking about the mentality attached to it. I've had 9-to-5s. I've owned businesses. I failed at businesses. Had to go back to 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? I've owned places to stay, had homes, and had to go back, stay at my mama's house. I've been ups and downs, you know, through hills and valleys in my life. But I'm talking about classification. It's time to start determining who real leaders are out here, bro. And we can't be ashamed to point out who the real leaders are or who the potential real leaders are. And we got to start grooming them if we plan on doing anything better with our society. If not, we're just going to be as bad as the baby boomers that we talk about.
I don't want to lead shit. I'll say that up front. I'll do it if I have to, Mike. But yes, we do. I want to. No,
you don't want, I don't want to.
Here's the thing. I'll do. This is why I say I'll do it if I have to. And the reason why I don't want to, I'll do it because if I have to, because I know it needs to be done. If it's something that needs to be done, I will do it. You know what I'm saying? To the best of my abilities, and I will go at it full regalia. Period. You will get 100% out of me. Period. I don't want to because it's going to take a lot of patience, and these knuckleheads don't listen. You can't tell them shit. They already know every goddamn thing. So they're going to have to unlearn a lot of bad a lot of things that they learn and get rid of a lot of bad habits. They're going to have to get that gumption to get up and do things even though they don't feel like it. They're going to have to learn how to be stoic. My show tonight is going to be about stoicism. I'm going to go through a lot of philosophies of stoicism. I'm going to go through some things that Stoics don't do. I'm going to go through a lot of things that Stoics do do. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the things that Stoics don't do, I see these guys doing it, and they got it in spades. It's just they're riddled with it. The things that Stoics do, these guys don't do it. Me, I practice Stoicism, and people don't even know I'm doing it. Like, at any given time, I've sat on a panel and said some shit just to keep people from thinking what I'm really thinking. But I sat there and listened to them. Stoics don't let you know what's on their mind. It's the practice of going through hardship, all kinds of hardship, and never letting people know how hard it is and not complaining about it.
Yeah, that requires things that people don't have today. Number one, it requires patience.
Patience and discipline.
Discipline.
And, presence of thought. It requires tact and self-reflection. You know what I'm saying? And you grow your intellect grows when you practice that, because you're not spending your time talking, you're spending your time listening. You know what I'm saying? And actually trying to comprehend what's being told to you and relating that information to yourself. How does this information that I learned relate to me? How can I use this as a positive? How can I learn this and learn what not to do in this circumstance that I learned about? What this person did, how can I apply it to my life and have it help me? Like, you got a business, right? Mike, you have no idea how much time I spent thinking about what your business does and how that can apply to me. Like, I know what your business, what you do, what right. Your business is, right? You have no idea how much time I sat there and thought and actually wrote down in notepads what it entails and how that can help me with these two new ventures I'm on. You know what I'm saying? I'm starting one that's launching next month.
Let me know.
It's online. It's online coaching. Like, as far as personal training go, online coaching. Bernard's already on board.
Need,
you know what I'm saying?
I need that.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I told Bernard, it ain't going to be cheap. But personal trainers have learned. You know what I'm saying? If you got to be paid for what you're worth. You know what I'm saying? And all that knowledge and experience and education, all the money you spent on all them goddamn certifications, it's worth something. So, but my thing is, and like I said, I look at what you do. I look at Noble, the way he presents himself on camera, what he's looking at when he's looking at panels, when he analyzes panels and break down and calls out fuck shit. I watch him. You know what I'm saying? I watch Scam Likely all the time. His body language, yours too. But people aren't doing that. You know, and that's the reason why I said I really don't want to. I will, because I know it needs to be done. I will.
Right.
Wholeheartedly. But do I want to do it? Nah, it's going to be a task and a half, man. You know what I'm saying? The mentee, yeah. The one mentee I do have, he listens. He at least listens to me. You know what I'm saying? But...
Look, my mentee, man, he just left today. Today was his last day at the job, and we had to get him out of a fucked up situation this afternoon. But, I mean, we went and did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'll do for my people. Like, my people can depend on me that, look, they're going to get every dime they're owed before I take a penny from anything. They can trust that I'm going to do that. That's how I'm able to tell them what I need them to do, because they know that I'm a man of my word. They're going to do what I ask them to do with no pushback. Very grateful. I don't deal with ungrateful people. But like I said, once you get to this space, and I get it, it's the internet. You can be what you want to be here in AI. You know what I'm saying? Artificially intelligent. That's what I'm going to start calling these niggas. Niggas is artificially intelligent. Yeah, these niggas is artificially intelligent around this motherfucker. But, you know, I'm going to let them have that. I'm going to let them have it.
I'm going to steal that too, artificially intelligent.
Oh, you can have it, bro. You can take it. You can take
okay, look, man, I got to drop off, man. I appreciate you helping me up here.
Right, hey, man, appreciate you, dirty folks,
too.
Man. All right, Scam, man. Appreciate y'all for coming up, man.
Yeah,
peace out.
Can I get some clothes on Mark? They cool?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You say what?
If you watch this enough, eventually you'll get down to see how these people are wired. It's a program. It's a repetitive program. Like, and if you understand how these people are wired, what they're doing, like what it is, like that's how you can, but you can't, I mean, it's not going to be where you can hop on a panel and convert 10 dusties over. I mean, that ain't going to happen.
That ain't going to happen.
But understanding how they're wired, and I'll let one secret out. Trolling has been my biggest offense and defense because it's emotion-based. But then you can get something in. Sometimes you don't get the one point, and that's it. But it's like a numbing. It can be a sledgehammer, or it can be Novocaine at the same time. But it can get you the mic to get your door and get something in because it's emotion-based.
Right.
But the thing that doesn't necessarily make sense, but it makes sense to them, it doesn't matter if Mandrell had $7 million bank account and never told anybody, or if I was broke in the gutter bleeding, but told you I had $7 million. Most of these people ain't going to never get none of that money anyway.
Right.
So most of them ain't going to meet me in real life, ain't going to see me. We're not going to the club together. So why does some of this stuff even freaking matter? Like some of this stuff, when they absorb too much of the junk and make their reality into one of some of these spaces to where it becomes their acceptance and their perception, and it's based on the internet, it's one of the riskiest, unqualified, unregulated spaces, is dangerous. And once you get to the subconscious mind, it's a wrap, because that person is now a robot. If I can get you a subconscious mind to where you automatically do stuff, where the words come out, Dusty, oh, I got that $20 super chats.
Right.
I get 10 of them, that's $200.
Right. Are these people that are these charlatans, I guess I'll call it, because if you set out to do that to people and know that you're promoting the wrong message, are these charlatans really acting as overseers and re-enslaving the mind of what would possibly be free thinking men?
Understand this. The right message is not the words that come out of your mouth or the principles that you're teaching or the facts that you're giving. It's the way that you make a person feel.
Right.
Comedy is universal. But then the taking advantage part, Mandrell, if he can't get no ladies, and I tell him it's all the ladies' problem, that's a feeling. Man, you ain't lying, man. I had one last week. Then I get that bond. Then him and his three other fake Mandrell. I got a whole panel.
Right.
It's a comfortable space to come in. And then we get a modern woman on the panel. Well, these niggas ain't this. Now you get to beat up on one of them. And the cycle repeats, repeats, repeats. Wait till 2026.
Oh, yeah. They'll have a flag by then.
Yeah. But that's all I got. Keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, appreciate that, man. I appreciate your insight, man. Thank you, brother.
No problem.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Scam Likely. Look, Mandreezy, man. We didn't chop this up for a minute. I'm gonna get back to the video for a second and show this insanity, man. But Scam Likely did, you know, he summed it up pretty good.
A one or a thumb up?
Look.
Okay. Oh, put you up. He's putting up. Okay, you up. Okay. Last thing
I'm good.
I didn't want to bring you up if you thought you was down, and then you go to surfing Pornhub, and we can't. No, I ain't gonna put you out there. All right, cool.
I got live Pornhub.
Okay, got you.
Oh, all right. Curly things on there.
I ain't trying to see Larry Bird in naked, nigga.
I don't think that's a woman.
Aaron, that's what I was saying.
You can call me my real name, not the name I go by on the Star Report. You can call me Eric. So,
Eric. Okay, he called me.
All right. Got it the wrong way, but go ahead.
Okay, but yeah, that's all I'm saying, man. I'm down to have the conversation, and we can have hard discussions. But we have to start backing these discussions up with known facts that we know of. Now, something may be discovered in the future that may overturn all of this shit that we think right now. But you have to keep the open mind, and we can't take today's mind and look at yesterday. You can't do it. You're going to automatically be biased, which automatically is going to be flawed.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying from a research methodology standpoint.
Okay. The thing that I'm
numbers. Go ahead.
The thing I'm going to tell you is this: phenotypes are different, genetics are different, right?
Absolutely.
Which is why Ethiopians and people from Somalia don't look like people from Ghana or people from Nigeria. Those are two completely different people. And if what you're trying to do, but if you're just saying brown, that like encompasses a lot of people,
yeah.
Right? Even, that it's just the only people that wouldn't be included in that is Asian and white people. And so that's just what people have a tendency to do. But I want to go to the guy from the one that says St. Louis. So one of the things that we're going to have to establish a point of what is it that you're saying is bad if we're going from Jim Crow to slavery? Because when we look at franchisement, right, the point after slavery was Reconstruction. And Reconstruction is when white people basically built a lot of things for black people in terms of schools and communities and boosted the black literacy rate. Black people could hold public office, which they did after slavery, right? Black people
right.
could businesses, which they did after slavery. So what I'm trying to figure out is how are you equating a point in time where people were largely denied the right to live, right, independently, denied the right to read, versus a time where people could hold public office and start a business. How are we attributing those two things together? I'm just curious.
Okay. So again, we talk about the concept of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay. If you are a slave, you have no option. You have no ability to do anything until you're in your place. You have no ability to move around. When you start talking about the basis of Western civilization, property rights and rule of law, when they can be arbitrarily enforced and you have different systems of operation where people can do and apply things as they wish, that is actually more devastating. And that's the same stuff that we complain about even outside of the black community. We start talking about things like crony capitalism, or you start talking about insider all these sorts of ways that people closest to the money printer manipulate society, or they have inside knowledge and how they manipulate things. It's the same concept, okay?
Those things are worse than slavery.
Huh? No. No, but again, when we start talking about when you have slavery and you have no option, and when you're a slave, everything is provisioned for you by someone else. When you can go out and get no.
Yeah,
listen,
you're getting the
listen,
worst
listen,
of the worst.
No, I'm not.
That sounds so bad.
But you don't know it's bad
unless you born unless you weren't born in it.
Okay, I agree.
So
I agree with that.
It's like you almost saying the white man was taking better care of us.
I'm
just trying to get these go to work ass niggas to understand the white man taking care of you today and your family.
Yeah, but give you that paycheck. He pays you to take the end of those menial, tedious jobs.
And the day he decides to stop paying you, you want to show up with a fucking gun.
You're an employee, dude.
I appreciate
your white man still owns you.
Yeah,
and you got to pay taxes.
Right. Yeah, shout out to you, Army vet. Like I say, I ain't clowning on dudes, but damn, don't clown on the niggas that drive this economy. Don't clown on us either. I mean, I would look crazy as a business owner, you know, clowning on people that have jobs. Who's gonna work for me if I felt that way? But yeah, don't sit up and act like you independent because you fill out a fucking application, bro. That's all I'm saying. You can give these guys crumbs and peanuts, bro. They gonna eat it.
Right. That's the thing. They'll see you up for them crumbs and peanuts too. And that's why the white man doesn't fear us. You're gonna get one. All you gotta offer him is 2 cents. That's it. That's all you gotta offer is 2 cents. Then, okay, cool. They got the whole operation goes down. I'll take care. Why are you worried about them? Why are you worried about the calls? Don't you know what you can do with this money, Mike? You can feed your family forever.
Right.
He offered you money. Now, I'm calling crumbs and 2 pennies. It could be $20 billion. It's still crumbs and 2 pennies to me because it's only fucking money. Money ain't worth it. And the big picture is black excellence, black success, black prosperity. In the face of that, what is money? That's it. Something we can get anyway.
It's a tool to get pussy.
That too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not it.
Yeah, it's a Swiss Army knife, man. It can get you a lot of stuff now. I ain't disagreeing. It can get you that. But shout out to Bernard S.
Yeah, what up, Bernard? Building. Bernard S. in the building.
you can get you back. Yeah, but like I was saying, you're gonna always find at least one, minimum one. Offer them some money. The whole operation's going tits up, and they know it. Just like Louis Gossett Jr. said in an interview one time. I remember I was a child and I saw this interview. There's a part they had offered him to play some slaves or some shit like that, and he wasn't cool with it. And they told him, this was back when he was young, right? And so he was like, it's all right, you know, I was getting another black to do it. Because,
yeah.
You know, black people are hungry to be in Hollywood and stuff like that. But even then, he was hungry too. But even then, there are certain parts he just wouldn't play. And it still goes on today. If you ask my sister, she'll tell you. There's parts where she turned down. All right, we'll find somebody to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the integrity? Where's the shame? Where's the self-love? You know, you hardly see it exist today. But, you know, like I said, people practice stoicism, it'll be way better, man.
I'm interested to hear more about stoicism. Was the Stoics what, from ancient Rome?
From everywhere, man. Stoics were from ancient Greece, ancient Rome. There were Stoics all over the place. And people think it's just philosophy. No, a lot goes into Stoicism like a lot goes into manhood. Stoics, for example, you know, one of their tenets and their philosophy is that they don't fear change, right? They don't really have prefaces. They don't really fear change because they're prepared for everything.
Right.
Like Marcus Aurelius was a wrestler.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The guy Zeno, however you pronounce it. He invented Stoicism. But yeah, there's Marcus Aurelius. He was a Stoic. Several of them. There's a whole bunch of people back in the day, from way back in the day, practiced Stoicism and wrote a bunch of different writings on it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm
familiar
you know,
with Marcus Aurelius' writings. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, good book. Read that. Stoicism all through and through that. They don't fear change. They don't sweat the small stuff. They don't value other people's opinion over their own. You know what I'm saying? They put weight on it, but not over their own opinion. They don't value over their own opinion. You know, they don't look for revenge. You know,
right?
They don't start shit like they don't start from behind. Stuff like that. You know, I'm gonna get into it later tonight. I really am. I already got my notes ready for it.
I'm gonna check that out.
And it's one of them that I felt really interesting. And that you see me practicing this to this day. This is the part about me Nova don't like, right? Understanding that you have a right to not have an opinion.
Always.
And you see me exercising that in present day live and in color.
Yeah.
You know, by not getting into these conversations or just sitting there on a live and somebody says some stupid shit, I'm just like this.
Oh, yeah.
Like Nova did a review of a live he did this weekend. He said, he even pointed out, Mantrell sat there for 15 whole minutes. I ain't say a word.
That's unlike you.
Right. But you see me in practice. I'm developing new habits.
Right.
This is growth that you see like incarnate. Now, what am I going to grow into? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I'm practicing not having an opinion. I hear him. I heard the dude. I heard the shit he was saying. I disagree. But I'm like, yeah, I don't have to have an opinion about this. This is dumb.
I'm going to tell you another good book. I've heard of this book that Noble's talking about, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, because it's all small stuff.
Yeah.
I'll say this, too. It's a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Read that one as well if y'all ever get an opportunity. Great book. The less you give a fuck, the actual better you do. Did you know that?
So what now?
The less you give a fuck, the better you do.
Oh, my God, do you ever.
The less you give a fuck, the better
you
do.
Oh, my God, yes, you do. I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The less you give a fuck, the better off you are. You know, and that's the thing about Stoics, man. They come off that way. I'm a Stoic. I have been for a very long time now, you know. But like you see, this, like these panels is good practice for like communication skills, sharpening your debate skills. Well, not really. There's no competition out here for debate. These guys are ignorant.
This ain't debate, bro. This should end up in somebody getting punched in the eye if they're face to face. And I would say in most situations. And the guy who can't win the fight going to go get his gun, and that's
right.
The end of the situation. So, yeah, you know. Like I said, ask the question, are incels the next terrorist organization? I don't know. I don't see nobody out here that's getting women causing all this mayhem.
I don't either. You don't. I mean, the thing is, so these guys, what they don't understand is, like, these guys are not stoics. Stoics accept the world the way it is. You know what I'm saying? They accept the world the way it is. So then if there's changes that need to be made, you can't make changes until you first understand and accept your circumstances.
Right.
You can't blame everybody else. No one else is to blame for your situation is. Your situation is what it is. And 9 times out of 10, it is your fault. You know, some people are brought into unfortunate circumstances that were beyond their scope. And also Stoics, they don't worry about what they can't control.
Do you think
it's
I'm
not
a
under
Stoic?
My control?
Do you think I'm
yeah.
a Stoic?
Yeah, because from what I can tell from you,
I'm going to be honest. I'm glad you brought this up. But I'm going to be honest. I've always found that taking accountability for everything that happens to me gives me mm-hmm. power over the situation.
Yep.
Taking accountability, she played me. No, I let her play me. I've always been like that. You know, oh, he disrespected me. No, I let him disrespect me. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's how I've always been. That gives me power over every situation.
Yeah, like,
and I always believe zero is a good place to start. I don't mind starting from rock bottom. Never will, never have. I don't mind it. Zero is always a good place to start. Below zero is where you don't want to start.
Yeah, there you go. Like, one of the rules of Stoicism is you control how you respond to things. You know, one of the first rules is, focus on what you can control. And one of the other first, like top five or top 10 rules of it is you control how you respond to things. If it's something that's out of my control, I can't do anything. I can't do anything about that because I can't control it. But what can I do? This is where the control how you respond comes in. This is a situation. I've accepted it. Security boss gave me hell when I said that. It's the first, before we change anything, security boss said to accept the world the way it is. No, Mandrill. We can't accept it. Can't accept it. So wait, hear me out. No. I said, you have to accept the world the way it is before you can control it, before you can change anything. Then you respond to it. What is it about this situation that I can't control? What is within my grasp or my scope? Okay, I can be doing this. I can be doing that. I can make moves here. Be doing that. These guys don't understand that, okay, there's so much low-hanging fruit out here to make money with side hustles that you can make these side hustles full-time jobs and make six figures with it, with a lot of them.
Yeah, you got to have hustle.
That's the thing. But Mandrill, that would take effort on my part. Of course it would. It's just a sad state of affairs, man.
Well, like I said, I'm gonna stand on my square on the title of this, and I'm gonna you know, I don't care who feel any way about it. We deficient in leadership.
Yes, we are, and I agree with that wholeheartedly.
We deficient in leadership until black men, I was telling about Jason Whitlock. You got to stop listening to inadequate dudes. First and foremost, like, I could tell when somebody is confident, and I could tell when somebody's inadequate. I could tell how you feel, bro. Let's see. And we got Trey, the MBD in the building. What's up, man?
How y'all doing?
Hey, pretty good. How about yourself?
Chilling.
Good. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming up. What's on your mind?
Man, you know, I'm just... You know, I'm about 75-25 with you, and I'm just peeping your vibe, man. I can tell you probably from around my generation. You know, I'm Gen X. I'm 48.
Okay, I'm a little bit younger, but yeah, we close. Yeah, I'm 78. I was born in 78, so I'm 45.
Okay, bet. Yeah, and it's just, you know, I'm kind of like semi-banned from Bernard Riley because I like to kick the table.
Yeah. And I like Bernard, man. I'm not, you know, trying to clown Bernard, but like I said, when I see something, I'm gonna go ahead and identify it. So yeah.
Yeah, but I'm 100% with y'all on the stoicism. Unfortunately, my disagreement and why really I'm sort of banned over there is because me, I've completely removed the black part. And because the stoicism, you know, even the subtle art of not giving a fuck is when you caught up on the black, like that takes away part of your manhood because you're going to put that first. And the main group here, you know, in the United States, it tries to put that label on you, you know, are the queens, the B-dubs.
Right.
And they're not putting it on us for a positive game. They're putting it on us for control because they know if we're beefing with, you know, Pablo, that we beefing with Chad, we beefing with Hung Lee, that division right there, they knows they got control over us. So that's why I'm just like, you know, removing stoic. If I want to roll with some brothers, I roll with the dudes I'm from in the 757 VA. That's the only brothers I know that, like, you know, cats I came up with, and like, man, some of them still on some dumb stuff, so I can't even roll with them like that. But aside from that, like, the leadership part of this is they're caught up in the past. You know, I'm a big fan of going forward. You know, I know the subtle art of not giving a fuck. My wife's got that book, and you know, authors of that way of thinking is to go forward. Part of the subtle art of not giving a fuck is you can't be all this slavery and, you know, Jim Crow stuff. Man, what is that going to do? You know, what is that? Me teaching my son, my 28-year-old son, yeah, you know, back in the day, you know, there was slavery and it was hard. What benefit does that teach him? He out there trying, you know, he really out there in the white man world is he's like an executive for a company in Seattle. And ain't no brothers in sight near him. Man, what is that going to help him teaching him all that stuff? Man, he coming here with any victimhood stuff, he going to be on unemployment line. So I just say, look, you size up man to man, and you outdo them. I don't give a fuck what color they are. You outshine them as a man. First, all the other color stuff, if you want to play it after that, do that. But if you want to get ahead in life, you be better than every man that's in your periphery.
Well, I'll say this about the history thing. A man way wiser than me said that he who doesn't know history is doomed to repeat it. So that would be why I feel like history is important to learn. I'm not saying you got to live in your history because, you know, everybody's gone through traumas in the past. Just take your regular life, man. I broke my knee. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to continue living and limping like I have, you know, my knee's still broke. But, yeah, I can actually acknowledge that I broke my knee and it hurt me and it put me down for this many months. It's part of my story. So I get it from that standpoint. I don't think we're doing it to establish any kind of claim of victimhood because I don't believe that black people in this country are allowed to be victims. I think everybody else has kind of beat them to the punch of the victimhood, and we know who we're talking about.
Yeah,
black women try, but when they cry, don't nobody answer. Let's just be honest. And you can't call them for trying. But
unfortunately, though, bro, it's like, you know, being around, you know, I got really big, you know, I'm not anymore, but like into politics and doing a lot of interviews for my podcast before I got the super shadow ban, just interviewing people all over the country as a truck driver, I could do it.
Right.
And the biggest problem I found is that not white liberal men, but white conservative men, all a woman got to do, especially the queens, oh, my God, man, they the biggest simps in the world, man, for Keisha. Because they got that soft heart in there for a woman. They don't, because they come from that line of thinking that, you know, women and children first on the life raft first. And they sort of get clouded, you know, by the fact that it's a woman standing in front of them and don't want to hold them accountable. But, you know, they want to hold men accountable. That's why I just say, you know, women, you know, like you said, they try. But, as far as the history, bro, I mean, my history is my history. My dad's history is his history. What he told me, what my grandmother told me, that's where it stops. You know, I'll read, but then, you know, you can go find other sources. So I'm like, okay, cool. What my dad told me, my grandmother told me, it stops right there. Where I can look up my great-grandmother, I can look up my great-great-grandfather, who's an Irish dude, you know, born 1836 in, you know, Rankin County, Mississippi. My grandmother half Creek. You know, it's like at that point, I can look up the records. That's where it stops. Like my family was slave owners, bro. I can look it up. I like shit. Does I be embarrassed? That's why I'm like, what was so bad about slavery? Slavery made my family rich at the time. They fumbled the bag eventually, but it made them rich. How can I complain? How can I even go on a conversation over there with those guys talking, oh, we had it bad, this, we had it. That make me a hypocrite because I ran my genealogy. It kind of was a shock to me when I ran it, but it led me down this path of, man, fuck this history stuff.
You had Irish slave owning great-grandfather in Rankin County, Mississippi?
No, the black side.
Okay. Because I'm about to say, I'm from the Gulf Coast. Rankin County is what, Gulfport or Biloxi?
No, that's Jackson, outside of Jackson.
Rankin County?
He was too young.
Okay.
Like, 1836. He was, but he wasn't. When I did it, it was the black side.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That with a slave owner. You know, he was just, you know, Irish dude, you know, got, he had two families. He had an Irish family, and, you know, he had the melanated family.
Right, but I would wonder why you wouldn't want to tap into your roots, regardless of what they were.
My roots? I mean, really, just at my grandmother. That's what I know. That's my roots are, my grandmother.
Like, even tapping into your Irish roots. Because it's not far-fetched, like I said, where we're from, Mississippi, Alabama area, that was happening. That shit was going down.
But that's the thing, bro. My family was on the other side of it. So, I mean, well, I want to go over there and, you know, I wonder how my dad became the man he is. Because my dad, you know, one of the scariest dudes you ever meet in your life. Man, he don't play. My dad said straight up when the racism stuff, you know, when I got started running with the pro-blacks, he pulled me to the side. And he was like, what's wrong with you? Come here. You know how they get in your head, you know, when I was younger, around that Spike Lee days, do the right thing, wearing the gold, you know, the Africa medallions. And he pulled me to the side and was like, let me tell you something about Mississippi, 1949. He said, my first girlfriend was white. I'm like, what? He said, don't believe everything they're telling you. I said, we were all poor as dirt because I told you that family fumbled the bag, you know, Great Depression and all. And he said, we were all poor as dirt. You might know what the hell color we was. We were, the only color we were poor. That was it. And, you know, at that point, I kind of woke up. Then I joined the Army, you know, and just traveled the world and saw a whole different light. At that point, it came to me. It's like, what do we teach our sons? And I was like, okay, I know what I'm going to teach my son. It worked. I know what I teach my daughters. It works. And I just point that out to other dudes. Like, if you want to, all right, cool. If you want to do the whole black thing, start with your own nuclear family first and then work outwards. And don't be afraid, you know, cut ties with those that, you know, that it's going to bring you down.
Well, I never believe in cutting ties with family on any level. Now, there's some niggas I'm just going to feed with a long-handled spoon, but I'm never going to cut ties with my family because that's all I got in this world. Like, I definitely wouldn't be able to get much more support outside or from outsiders. But look, I do business. A lot of business with white people. I'm partnered up with white men and conservative people. You know what I mean? I come from a conservative family. I don't come from a Republican family. I come from a conservative family with values. So we find common ground on a lot of things. I don't vote Democrat anymore, thank God. But, you know, I'd rather not vote at all. I'd rather not vote at all. I wouldn't give a fuck if Mickey Mouse was the president. It's not going to stop me from doing what I need to do. But I'm not afraid and shying away from the history. A lot of brothers in this space, it's like we're the soft target. We're the easy ones to attack. And so they attack us. But you won't attack a Jewish person on their history. You won't attack them. Oh, whoa, don't say that. They call them all different names. But when it comes to us, we niggas, we this and we that and the other.
Why not attack the Jews? I mean,
it's
what it is.
Look, because everybody just such a brand ambassador and getting this bag, they're going to lose all their endorsements if they tell the truth on that. So, you know, go whatever. Go fit.
I see World Class saying, pay close attention to what he's saying. You know, this is precisely what created our conclusion in the first time. You know, other brothers didn't create this. You know, listening to Jews is what created it. Jews is why, you know, you end up everything now, the situation that the dysfunctional side of, you know, quote unquote black America is all based on Jews, man. Jews run the record labels. You know, Jews run all these banks and stuff. Jews run all these, really the ones putting all this money into the shoe companies. Everything that, you know, the dysfunctional side of black America is throwing their money into is backed by, you know, Star David dollars.
But I mean, what makes it dysfunctional?
Hmm?
What makes that dysfunctional?
Oh, Miami Beach. What else? What's happening in Harlem? What's happening in Chicago, Baltimore, Little Rock, even the east side of San Antonio, where I'm at. Dysfunction just because of the matriarchy has become the norm. It wasn't, you know, you could put some of the blame on fathers. You know, fathers back before I was born, before you was born, whatever Lyndon B. Johnson promised, it was real good. Because eventually it just sunk in and the women took it and ran with it. And that byproduct of it is you got a whole bunch of hyper-masculine, you know, little dudes running around, and you got a whole lot of hyper-sexualized girls running around, and it's not about forming a real community or a nuclear family anymore. It's about victimhood. You can't tell us nothing, and we're going to do whatever the hell we want.
I mean, I don't know if it's that. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that, though. I don't think it was just that cut and dry and simple, because there would be a simple solution if the problem came from such simple decisions, you don't think?
Nah, man, subversion, bro. You know, Manny Johnson predicted it, you know, and you familiar with Manny Johnson?
Who?
Manny Johnson.
Who's he?
Yeah, he was a communist back in the day. The Russians or Soviets recruited him, Leonard Patterson, this light-skinned chick, can't remember her name, but they went to the Soviet Union, got indoctrinated in all this Marxism, and came back and started spreading it around black folks in the 30s and 40s around that first, what is it, New Deal that FDR was putting out. And the stuff that's taking place now was put into motion in like, you know, 80 or some years ago. And why I say this is the history that I look at, because Manny Johnson videos are right here on YouTube. I got his book sitting right over here next to me, Color Communism, Common Sense. And this was all planned by the same people I spoke about. It was planned.
Right. Now the communism, I would say with the New Deal, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the communist.
Yeah.
He was America's only communist president. He just didn't run on a communist platform. But he was America's first communist and only communist president at this point. Well, maybe Barack Obama may have been, you know, something closer to it, as close as you can get to it. So, I mean, why would it, you know, that was the time. That was the spirit of the times. Coming out of the Depression, somebody had to give somebody something.
Well, if you notice, you know, kind of like what those dudes were saying over there on the panel, a lot of brothers weren't going for it. Black men were base. They were out there getting it out the mud. You know, you look at 1954, How to Sell to the Negro. You know, black people were the ones in the U.S. that had the money. Marketers were gearing their sales towards black folks. And this is all... And that's why I bring this stuff. It's all documented. It's all on video. There's still some folks alive that can talk about this. So all of a sudden, between 1935 and 1965, they had to find a way to, you know, get into the brothers' heads. And what they do, it, they went through the women. And I can't really blame the women, because you telling a group of women for, what, 300-400 years that they can't exercise their hypergamy? They can't exercise their female nature. You got to be with this dude over here. You know, Belinda, you got to be with Mike because of his skin. Yo, you got to be with Trey because of his skin. You know, you can't go out there and be with Brad, even though Brad's the best pick for you. You know, y'all got to live together. Y'all got to be together. I don't care if y'all hate each other. Y'all got to be together just because of that. So when women got those rights, especially with feminism coming along at the same time, they took it. They took it and ran with it.
But I still don't see where the women in our community have exercised their hypergamy to such a high degree. I still don't see that.
This is the weird thing about it, bro. If they would have chose hypergamy, I mean, really, there'd be no black community right now. I mean, doesn't matter if there was or not. But instead of choosing hypergamy, they choose the state. They chose handouts, the same ones FDR promised. LBJ, his protege, came right along behind 30 years later and gave them what they want. Well, I don't know if they wanted, gave them handouts. And today, you know, one of the biggest arguments on YouTube amongst men is we got to get rid of these handouts. You want women to act right? Take away the handouts. And this just ain't, you know, black women. This is all Western women. Take away all this, you know, women get automatic custody, all this alimony and stuff, all this, what? Spousal support, child support, automatic. No, get rid of all of it.
Well, I'll say this. I'm glad you brought that up. Would you say that this society is based on a series of handouts to white people? America's actually built off of handouts made to whites and Irish people, people who came from these countries to where they couldn't even eat. And, yeah. and then they come over here and they get these land grants and things like that. They take Indian lands and native lands and give it to these people. So, I mean, why are we charged to act so far outside of the confines of the society, the way that society is framed here? America is a communist socialist country. I don't care what anybody say. If you're giving money and bailing out banks and shit, that's socialism. It's just not socialism to the people. It's socialism to corporations and to the banking system. But,
well, in order to be a capitalist society, you have to, the banks, they have to do their thing. If you don't bail out the banks, I don't disagree. I don't, I'm kind of either way on it because, you know, as a business owner, man, I make a whole lot of money and I don't want to see my money go anywhere. So the banks and all the corporations that are way charged, you know, up higher than what I do, like, yeah, I don't want to see them fail. Because if they fail, the rest of the world fails. As America goes, the rest of the world goes. So we live in a capitalistic society, but those large corporations that, you know, the Jews have taken over, they have to keep running in order to keep the society going as it is. You know,
I would argue that this country is not capitalist.
How so?
Because capitalism, if you read Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations, capitalism is when the market is allowed to operate with no artificial inclusions or exclusions put in. So once you excluded black people out of slavery, once you excluded them from participating in the economy, like buying stocks on Wall Street and things like that, that couldn't be done for years and, you know, decades. Once you've done that, you've automatically destroyed and created the preconditions to destroy capitalism. So capitalism hasn't been a thing. That's why every 7 to 10 years, what happens? The economy crashes and the government spends a bunch of money to try to start it.
Bail them out. We were in the capitalist system. We're actually capitalists. They let these banks fail. They did the same thing in 2008 and 2009. Lehman Brothers would not have been the only one that went under. Bear Stearns was supposed to go under. I remember Bear Stearns because I had some money in there. And I was shitting bricks because they wouldn't give me my money. That's the first time I found out a bank could literally tell you, I said, wait, I got over such and such amount of money in there. No, you haven't. What?
You know what other banks
you know what I'm saying? That's not funny. A bank can actually just take your money and there's nothing you can do about it.
You know what other bank did that? The Freedman's Bank.
Yep.
The Freedman's Bank did that too. So it was over $56 million in the Freedman's Bank in 1866.
But here's the thing.
So and they stop a run on the bank when the economy starts to go down. They stop you from running on the bank because that's people's first reaction. I'm gonna take my money out this bank,
and
the government actually has rules in place to stop that from happening. So the key tenets to capitalism is what Adam Smith called what? The hidden hand. The hidden hand, the market forces that actually move on their own. The market is going to correct itself without the use of the hidden hand. You see what I mean?
And that's the organized chaos.
Supply
and demand
have to do is, it equalizes itself. It finds equilibrium.
But that's when you got to learn to play the game. Capitalism, monopoly is real. The board game is real. It's all capitalism is a game. It's not slavery. It's just a game. Because, you know, if you want to go the history route, you know, Antoine Dubleclay, slave owner, Louisiana, when the North came down, they took his land and made him go live with the slaves. They were like, all right, you know, the black freaking Buffalo soldiers, hey, nigga, we taking your land. Go over there and live with them. You know, brother, what'd he do? He spent a couple months over there. He's like, man, he was disgusted. Next thing you know, he got his money back. The North came and took everybody's stuff. All them, you know, queens that were slave owners out in Louisiana, North came and said, no, we taking that. But to this day, Antoine Dubleclay is celebrated in Louisiana because Louisiana was a broke state until he came along and fixed the budget. He took this was after he was a slave owner, after they took all of his land, after they took all of his property, he came along and fixed the budget now to where he's celebrated in Louisiana to this day. The white dude, you know, that his predecessor that jacked it up, he took off to Honduras and dipped. This is all like, you know, hey, just first, secondhand knowledge. You know, his family still celebrates to this day. And I look at any brother that comes to me and tell him, okay, cool, Dubleclay did it. Why can't you? And, you know, I mean, even though, I mean, you know, I can't even say even though, because they took everything from him and he built it back up. But that's the thing as far as history goes. And slave owners, Anthony Johnson, Dilsey Pope, you keep going down the list, William Ellison, Sherrod Bryant, all these folks got it in. They were capitalists. They took advantage of it. They were all melanated. Their families hold reunions every year celebrating their lives. What's holding other people back?
Is that a question?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, if these descendants of slave owners, you know, they ain't sweating anything. Why can't everybody else who has no attachment whatsoever to slavery do the same?
Because it's not the system of welfare isn't there. That was there.
They're getting welfare, bro.
No, the system of welfare that was there for those slave owners is not there.
Okay, what was
see,
the system
America,
of welfare?
America's basically, we give welfare to everybody else except for the people who they owe the money to, right?
Who is that? Who was the money owed to?
The money's owed to the people that were the battery of capitalism. Let's keep. Like, I mean, I don't think America, if they actually had to pay fair wages, would have been able to make the amount of money they made in the time period that they made without slave labor.
But those people are dead. The white folks, the white dudes that built the rebuilt skyscrapers and dug out the buildings, you know, after the last, you know, thing that, you know, Jews pulled, they dead. They all dead.
Did their lineages die with them? Did the money die?
Did the money
get passed down in form of inheritance?
The Chinese folks out west did the railroad, dug out the railroads out there. They did. But the only ones now that got their hands out begging are melanated folks, descendants of, wink, wink, think they were slave descendants of slave owners.
All right, what are we begging for? What are we begging for?
You're not begging anything, man. You a stoic. I heard what you said. You're not begging for anything.
Yeah, I'm talking about like black people as a whole. I hear that a lot. But I ask this question, they say welfare and child support. Like, no. Come on now. What are we begging for? That's nothing.
I just went on a thread today, like hundreds of thousands of likes, like all these different threads for like reparations on Twitter. You got the masses. You go on WorldStar. You go on all
these
places.
But we're old reparations. I got to disagree with you on that one because we're old reparations.
You're old reparations, bro.
American descendants of slaves, yes, you are old reparations.
Okay.
Now, I don't
have
think we're ever is a, we're never going to get it.
No, have
but
you
are we
genealogy?
Owed it? Are we owed it? Hell yeah, we owed it.
Have you ran your genealogy?
Yes.
And where the white folks at?
There's one white relative in my lineage. Way
so, bro,
down
you're
the
light skin, bro. I'm not saying anything. You can
see, that's mostly indigenous American. Like, that's my mother's side. It's heavily Native American. Like, my great aunts and stuff, like my grandmother's sisters, my granddad's sisters, they could sit on their hair if they didn't move it out the way.
Bro, I'm with you. My mom.
Like,
I got
cousins
Mohawk,
like that, too, man. Like,
I'm with you. My mom's half Mohawk and, you know, half Jamaican. Her dad was just, you know, a Mohawk. I don't know how he ended up in Jamaica. My mom told me the story, but I don't deal with that side of the family. They ain't no good. My mom did us a favor keeping us away from him.
Yeah, my dad is black, though. He's a descendant of slaves, but, you know,
where
my
was
dad's
slave?
Black. My mother's Native American.
Where was the slave at? You know, and where were the you ran your genealogy. You could trace back the plantations, sales records, all these things. For every bit of your lineage.
Yeah. It's at my mother's house. You got to ask her that shit.
Damn
but we God. Have had our genealogy ran.
So you got slave owners in your family. None. No slave owners in your genealogy.
Other than the slave owners who own our people. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you sure you're not related to any of them?
You might be. I mean, there's a lot of breed. There's a lot of masters sneaking into the, you know, into the slave quarters, knocking them off or something. Hey, and... Master's wife was doing it too. Quite
like I said, most slave owners are black, bro. I put it in the chat. Most slave owners are black.
You say?
Yeah. 1830 census, bro. It's out there. You can even Google it.
So you believe that? You're gonna believe something that's obvious propaganda,
bro? Here's the deal, man. This is where
black people weren't allowed to do anything. So a white person could come, if a, let's say a black slave owner at
no,
that time,
bro.
Right?
No, that's mythology.
A white person
bro.
Could come and buy the slave owner and he'd be the slave.
That's mythology, bro.
That's not mythology. That's a fact.
Bro, I just told you slave owners' families hold reunions every single year.
But you only named a few.
Bro, I told you.
I'm sure it was more.
I'm not denying that there were black slave owners. I'm not denying that there are black slave there were black slave owners. I wouldn't deny that because that would be denying facts, and that's stupid. What's saying is factually true. There were black slave owners, but were there more than white ones?
Yeah, bro.
That's the one I have to look at. I have to look up more data on that.
Yeah, here's the deal, man. Like, you know, and I'll just tell you right off the bat. I'm not ADOS, I'm not FBA, I'm half Jamaican, and I don't believe in the whole African nothing. We ain't African nothing, bro. I'm indigenous, man.
Oh, if you have Jamaican, you African, bro.
No, I ain't no African nothing, man. That's Arawak, freaking daggum Sigwa Indians, bro.
No, Africans is over there too.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
You go to Jamaica today. There's a lot of descendants of Africans over there,
Jamaica, bro. Skin color. If somebody came to me and
the
said,
culture's
okay,
different, yeah, the culture's different today. But it's, and remember, you guys are the ones who ran out the French. Okay, now, kudos to you. You killed your masters.
That was the Haitians, bro.
That was the Haitians.
Oh, that's right. That's the Haitians. What's the difference, though? They're all in the Caribbean. They're all black.
The
and they all stink.
No,
so,
Haitians
I mean,
came from – Haitians derived from the Natchez Indians of Mississippi. That's where Haitians came from. They just picked them up and took them over there. That's all documented. Here's the thing, bro.
What you're saying is true, but they also brought Africans over there.
Bro, how did Africans get there? That's why I say I don't get
the French brought them.
Nut to butt, locked at the ankles – for 12 months, how did they eat? How did they shit? How did they piss? End of story.
Oh, on top of each other. And they ate. Whatever they gave
dysentery,
them.
Dysentery.
Yeah.
Dengue.
Yeah. A lot of them died on the trip
have
over.
Have you ever been around those diseases?
Yes, I have, actually.
Okay. In mass. There's people. No, you don't survive for 8 to 12 months at the bottom of a ship. Locked to chains, man. That's just mythology, man. Told you about. You know who Melville Hershkovitz is?
Yeah.
No.
I've heard of Melville Hershkovitz.
Yeah, Melville Hershkovitz is a Jew that created the whole out of Africa passage. The whole out of Africa mess was created by a white dude, man, a Jew.
Well, if he's Jewish, he's not. Well, first of all, he's Jewish. He ain't
white. That's a theory. Yeah, and it's still a theory to this day.
Melville Hershkovitz, white as can be, man.
Yeah, but you know, he's Jewish. He ain't white. He's Jewish.
Okay, but that's even worse.
Here's the thing. There's a distinction, and they like to forget that until it's convenient. Hold on. My hand around their necks about that shit. No, you white until you white and until you're some shit and then you pull that J card. That Jewish when it's convenient. If it ain't convenient, no, I'm just a white guy. No, bitch. Okay. You're
but
fucking
that's
with
even worse,
it.
Bro.
I don't like that. That's the shit I don't like.
And that's why I don't do the history stuff, man, because you know, the pro blacks will tell me about their history. Your history was given to you by you know, a Jewish dude.
No.
I don't know about it being given to a Jew.
That's an insult because you act like families didn't sit down and talk with people about their history.
Man, you talk to your great-great-grandmother, they would laugh.
My great-grandmother was alive till I was 12.
Yeah, my grandmother laughed.
Not my grandmother. My great-grandmother.
One of my great grandmothers was alive until I was about nine years old, who happened to be mulatto.
Yeah,
she happened to be half white, but
my grandmother laughed at Roots and said that stuff is made up.
Man, I've never even seen Roots.
Yeah, it's don't waste.
You haven't? It's very entertaining.
I've never seen Roots, and don't plan on seeing it because the narrative that somehow somebody taught me that off Roots, that's not true.
Then where'd they get it from, bro?
Dude, shout out to Tommy B.
You had people like...
What you mean where they get it from? Wait.
Look, my grandmother was alive when her grandmother was alive, right? Which would mean that there were stories told by my great-great-grandmother to my grandmother that my grandmother told me. Now, my great-great-grandmother was alive when her grandmother was alive. She heard stories from her. We can't sit back and act like white folks gave us all of these stories.
Bro, this is black folks, man. What do white folks think? White people came here after 1890.
Right.
Majority of white people in this country came after 1890.
Right. So
the country was more melanated before that. 1830 census, in 1790 census. Why do you think the government destroyed them? They just conveniently burned up in a fire?
Trey, I got one question for you, and please answer. I'm not answering this question salaciously.
No, you can ask me.
Just give me some context, all right? Are you a Christian?
I used to be.
You used to be. Are you still at all like anymore? You read the Bible and all that?
Oh yeah, man. Okay.
Yeah, I was crossing my fingers, hoping you would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You just killed your
argument. 17 years in church, bro. 17
gotcha.
Years. First 17
gotcha. You
years.
Just killed your argument. Bro, how do you believe a story? Oh, wait. Facts. The first book of the Bible wasn't written until about 380 years after Christ died. But until then, the stories are passed down from person to person to person, like it was largely as the Bible
bro,
was being written.
I used to be.
I get it. But my thing is, the same principle applies here, negating Mike's accounts of how history is passed down, which it is. He's correct. My grandparents told me stories. Their parents and their grandparents told them stories. Oh, not yours. My parents taught me. And that's largely how the knowledge is passed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more knowledge you pass down, the more the story you tell, the more knowledge can be passed down, and it enriches the next generation. You know, they know what to do and what not to do, what to look out for and what not to look out for, what's okay and what's not. So what I'm saying is,
where was victimhood passed down at? Where was victimhood? Where was twerking passed down at?
That's new shit. That wasn't passed down.
Is it really new?
It's really new.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about the dysfunction, not the actual things. The dysfunction.
Oh, I can tell you where the dysfunction comes from.
The dysfunction was reported in the 90s. I grew up watching it. The 70s.
So did
60s.
I.
My mother and father went through it.
Well, Mike's
the 20s.
Mike's a few months older than me. I'll be 45 in August. But, I was born in 78. So I remember the 80s. I remember the 90s, early 2000s, all of that. You know, twerking is a relatively new thing. When you say dysfunction, what part are you talking about? I mean, because that's a rather long list, but you got to be more specific. I hear what you're saying. I feel you.
What makes twerking dysfunctional?
Hmm? Huh?
What makes twerking a dance dysfunctional?
That's why I'm asking him to be specific.
Getting on classy restaurants in Dallas and twerking as the brother who owns the place has to beg you to stop.
Twerking on police cars is after the same thing. That's not every white girl though.
That's not every black woman though.
Right.
Here's the thing, man. Here's the problem is that 91% of black women are in support of it.
And I like how you evaded the parallel I made between you believing in the Bible, something that's most of it's clearly made up, and then you try to discredit Mike's example of how knowledge is passed down. Well, the Bible's passed down the same way.
You asked me a question about the Bible.
Why is the Bible true and Mike's great-grandmother's story isn't?
I never answered it, bro.
Okay, go ahead.
The Bible is just a really red pill book. It has a lot of, you know, good stories in it. A lot of base stories that Proverbs is one of the most
that were passed down.
Mouth
to ear.
Hold
for
on.
How long? 380 years.
Proverbs is, you know, one of the most red pill book out there. You can just all these dudes out here in the manosphere complaining about women. Dude, just go read Proverbs, and there you go. Your home life will be better. Now, as far as the rest of the Bible, I read it, but chew the meat, spit out the bones, bro. I told you, first 17 years of my life as a Christian, 3 times in church. Scriptures all the time, you know, get slapped upside the head, all that stuff, cool.
None of this helps you with my point.
No, but here's the thing. You said believe in stories. I never said I believe in it. I said I read it.
I get it, but you're saying, like, you're kind of discrediting Mike's account of how knowledge is passed down from generation to generation.
I'm not discrediting it, bro.
The thing is, that's what it sounds like you were doing.
And what I'm saying is this. What bearing does victimhood and this whole slave mindset, you know, we deserve this because of something that may or may not have happened 160 years ago that I know for damn sure didn't happen to my family. So
you don't get it. It's not your fight.
You're a business.
You have a right.
Hold on, man.
Why do you deserve it then?
You're a business.
Well, because it happened to my family.
Hold on.
What did you do to deserve it?
Oh, it happened to my family.
What did you do?
As me, as patriarch.
Bro, you're a stoic, bro.
Of my
father. Go out here with their hands out complaining.
Oh, no. We don't. I'm not complaining.
Hey, hold on. Let me jump in real quick, Mandrill.
If a promise is made, a promise must be honored.
A promise, bro?
Yes, there is a promise.
Hey, Trey, you're a business owner.
Yeah.
Do you invoice any clients?
Yeah, bro.
What happens when they don't pay?
Bro, collections, man.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Up to what? Up to court. That doesn't mean you have your hands
deal.
Out. You're getting paid for work already done.
All right. Now, here's the deal.
And
bro,
if you die and your children take over your business, do they not have the right to go collect that money that's owed to your business?
Mike, my grandson ain't going after it, all right? It is what it is. If I don't get paid, that's on me. If I did business with a bad company, with a company that didn't pay me, that's on me. That's personal responsibility, man. I'm responsible for my business.
And they still owe you money.
And you can
still,
and you can still.
I did business with a bad company. I did.
And they still owe you money. You hold them accountable.
If I don't get paid, I don't get paid. I'm not going to sit there and cry about it. Go put
my hand out. That ain't crying. It ain't big. It's holding them accountable.
You're not going to cry
100 times more, Ben Trail.
But you're not going
to
cry.
I get it.
But going
to
court. But going to court.
That's not holding your hand out.
Does that make you a victim? If you go to court and decide to sue that company for your money, that does not make you a victim.
Okay, here's the deal.
It makes you somebody who didn't get paid. You got stiff.
Now, here's the deal, man. Look, I'm a fleet owner. You know, my wife's an agent, freight agent. You know, I got another business going on. If we don't get an invoice, let's say for a load for $1,400 invoice, we don't get paid on net 30 or net 60 terms. We just don't get it. But in that year, I made $1.2 million. What the hell I'm going to court for? Over
$1,000. Hold on.
Real quick.
You just let them get away with it?
Over that.
What's the name of your company?
What's your number?
But
what's your number in which you are going to go ahead and try to collect that dollar? You might not go for $1,400. What about $14,000?
I don't know, bro.
You're going to go for that $14,000,
no,
bro.
Come on, man.
You got to – let's be honest, bro.
Come on, Trey. There is a number you're gonna go after. There's a number you're gonna go after.
Here's the thing.
Oh man.
If I do a business deal for $14,000 and I get stiffed, that means I didn't do my due diligence. That's what that means. So I got a couple choices. I could spend three times that amount getting some lawyer, doing all that stuff, or I could chalk it up and say, okay, let me look and see what I did. Did I do my due diligence? What step did I miss? What did I look at? Let me look at this dude's character again. What did I do that I didn't, you know, all right, cool. I take the L. Now I go out there and make $144,000.
Okay, again, here's the thing. Yeah,
I don't see how you can make any letting all that shit slide.
Right.
If more than one person decides not to pay you, you don't make that $144,000. If your philosophy holds true. You're going for the second one. That's what I'm telling you, bro. You're not getting ready to take 10 motherfuckers, stiff you for $40,000, bro.
It's never happened. But this is the thing, man. When you, like I said, man, y'all were talking stoicism at first. That's why I came up. You can't sweat the small stuff.
$14,000,
it's chump change, bro.
Trey.
Oh, man, you tripping.
$14,000
is not chump change under any stretch of the imagination for anybody.
It's not to me, it is.
Bro,
Trey, the thing is,
I know millionaires that don't want to spend $14,000 on shit, bro.
Right.
No, to me, it's chump change, man.
Okay.
I'm going to put my Cash App on. You see my Cash App on the screen, right?
$14,000 in the Cash App. $14,000. $14,000 is $14,000. Money is money.
Here's $14,000. Is this? All right, cool. I messed up. You know what? Cool. Now let me go out here and make more money, make up for that. Now I take the money I made up for, reinvest that money in something else into a, you know, an asset that provides me, you know, passive income. Boom, there I go. I made it for my loss.
Yeah, but here's the point you're missing out. Here's the point you're missing, and you're evading it on purpose, I think. I think you're a lot smarter than you're coming off.
Bro.
Yeah, you are. Here's what you're evading.
You're not holding that company that stole from you, because that's what they did. They stole. You're not holding a thief accountable for their actions.
Okay, here's the thing, bro. If I did business with a company I didn't do my due diligence on, you know, there's some garbage, you know, shippers out here. There's some garbage brokers out here. And
no
if
doubt.
I did business with one of them, and then I go back and do my due diligence, and I look at their credit rating was horrible, and I look at my daughter, who, you know, runs part of business. I'm like, yo, did you look at that credit rating? What was you doing? I said, I showed you how to do all this stuff. Why you didn't do it? And then I got to come back now and hold that L, because now I'm looking at the reviews on them, because, you know, there's what, Carrier 411, where you can go look at the reviews of the company. Now, if I did business with a grimy company, a garbage company, and I got burned, I got to eat that, bro. Now I got to go back and make that up. I got mouths to feed. I ain't got time to be sitting up here dealing with court and stuff like that. I got to get out here. I'm trying to do like my ancestors, man. I'm trying to be the modern-day Anthony Johnson. You know, I'm trying to be the modern-day Dubla Clay. If slavery came back, I'm trying to buy me a six-pack of fucking Hondurans. Is what it is.
Anthony Johnson probably didn't let big debts go. He probably he probably collected his money.
Six-pack of Hondurans.
Yeah, it's what it is, man. That's Anthony Johnson, but that ain't me. Me,
you just
said
you
want to
be like him.
That is an incentive, bro. I can't tell you what Anthony Johnson did except for what's in the court records in Virginia.
That's your incentive is to own slaves?
It is what it is. If slavery came back, most niggas would anyway, bro.
If my mom had nuts, she'd be my daddy.
Huh?
Exactly.
That's what if
means to me. If slavery came back, if my mama had nuts, she'd be my daddy.
Okay.
So
entrepreneurship.
That's never gonna happen. Slavery's never gonna come back.
Slavery exists, man. You can go over to Africa and get you some slaves, bro.
Bro, I'm not going to get no slaves. I don't need no slaves.
But you say it don't exist.
It doesn't exist over here anymore. You said Africa. Who the fuck wanna go there?
And here's slavery, bro. Like, honestly, most slavery was indentured servitude, bro. You do your 7 years afterwards, you get land and property. Even Anthony Johnson, when he died, John Kaser, the first freaking chattel slave, Anthony Johnson's wife gave him basically 40 acres and a mule, and John Kaser's family blew up. Anthony Johnson's wife had a soft heart for that nigga. She was probably smashing him. That's probably why they was beefing in the first place. But that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I know one thing, he died, John Kaser came up, first slave ever. You know, legal slave in the U.S. came up big after his owner died. Both of them melanated.
Because Anthony Johnson was not the inventor of chattel slavery.
Bro, he was the first legal slave owner.
He was the first legal slave owner. But
he
was
went
not,
to court.
But he did not invent or establish chattel slavery, which means
that shit was invented years, thousands, millennia ago, which means
your children are born into slavery as well.
No, that's mythology, bro.
I don't believe you, bro. You're going to have to show me some proof on that.
Mike, can I ask you a question, Mike? Where do you find these people?
But, okay, so, man, you know that black female shaming language, right? I'm right here, bro. There's no need to talk to third person. I'm right here, bro.
I ain't talking to third person. I'm just asking.
Where do you find these people? That's third person, bro.
Third person would be like, see, Mandrell's going to ask Mike a question. Mandrell's going to look at the chat. That's me speaking in third person.
Where did you find Mandrell at? There you go. Mandrell, if he's
right.
Hey, Mike, where'd you find Trey at? And Freezone put me onto your channel.
Okay, cool. My thing is, we have a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
And a disagreement here, obviously. I agree with some of the stuff you said today. Definitely not all of it. I mean, we just have a different perspective on things, and that's fine. You know, I appreciate the fact that we're not being disagreeable about it. But, I mean, like, people with this mindset, I'm just like, it seems like y'all miss a lot. It seems like people who you're calling it things that are facts, mythology.
What mindset?
Calling facts mythology.
Bro, it's mythology. If nobody can see it, feel it, touch it, and you can have 1,000 different versions of how it happened,
First of all, let's add one more thing to it. If you discount the stories that have been passed down through generations, so basically our grandparents were liars, their parents were liars. All of these people have to be complicit in this huge deception in order for that to be a myth.
Why should I care, bro? Why should I care? Like, let's take it back to the modern times.
But your grandkids shouldn't care about what you went through.
No, they. That, my grandson, maybe. But
your grandson,
yeah,
he, no, he should not.
Hold on.
He shouldn't care about what you're going through.
Here's the deal. What my grandson is going to experience in life, and the life he's living now, is based on the work I put in.
So
that directly, it directly affects him.
So
now, here's the deal.
So work put
yeah,
in
let
for
me,
no
let me
pay.
Help
you
out, bro.
Work put
let
in
me
for
help
no
you out.
Pay doesn't directly affect grandkids.
Let me put you on the money game here. That $1,400, I could waste my time dealing with. I could take another $1,400, put it in some kind of asset, put it in a living trust when I get older, and dad gonna make my son and my grandson. Yeah, whatever.
Hey, we got the world class in the building. What's popping, man?
You could get an annuity or something like that. Put the $14,000 in.
I'm putting it in a living trust.
Here's my question: if this is your philosophy on things.
Mm-hmm.
You work and you make a substantial amount of income, I gather. All right. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to pass it down to your kids or what?
Yeah, if I want to. They're going to work for this, man. Like my grandson, yeah, he'll be set. But
why would he be set?
Because I'm going to make sure he's set.
Why would you do that? Why would you give him a handout?
Handout? I'm just going to make sure he's set.
But you're giving him a handout.
I ain't going to give him no handout. Because
that is exactly what it is. It's a handout.
There you go.
Why would you give him a handout?
Here's the thing. You call it a handout. I already said when he's...
You call it a handout.
Are you ready? Are you ready, bro?
Oh, yeah.
When he's 12 years old, I already told his mom, my daughter, look, he's coming with me. I'm going to put him on. If he don't want to do the work, he ain't getting shit. Just like I told my son. If you don't do the work, if you don't want to put it in, you ain't getting shit.
So what's the work? That's going to be our next question. That's going to be my next question. I want you to know. Let me have one more before we get to that. So you don't believe in government assistance. You don't believe in handouts, as
man,
you
if
say.
If you want to give women, if you want to give women,
But the question is, you don't believe in those, but you believe in nepotism.
I believe in my grandson, 12 years old, comes to work with me. If daggone, he shows.
That's nepotism.
Here's the deal. What's wrong with that? That's my grandson.
He never
would have
got that shit.
Work.
Yeah, but you're giving him a handout.
No, that ain't a handout. He's
that is an unfair advantage.
No, you work for.
Yeah, but
you
his foot
handout.
In the door. His foot in the door. It's his grandfather. You.
Here's the deal.
That's
man.
Nepotism.
Look. Here's the deal. We have different philosophies of thinking. And
I'm just challenging yours. That's all
no,
I'm doing.
Are you really going to change my mindset from, okay, 12 years old, show your grandson how to work. Show him how to, if he ain't with it, he don't get jacked.
So why didn't his father do that? That's his job.
I already promised him. That's my grandson.
No, but that's not your job. That's his father's job. Your job was to teach your son so that
you
your son
why?
Can teach his son.
You know why? Because I already told his father, his father's a little white Irish kid, soldier, 11 Bravo. I told him, look, you come work for me too. I'll put you on. If the army ain't cutting, if you want to get out, come work for me.
So how old is your grandson now?
A year old. Man,
he's
up.
A year old. Okay. How about
birthday's
this?
Coming up in a couple of days.
If you put his son on, then you stay out of it. That's his father's job to teach
he
him.
He already agreed.
But you shouldn't have done that.
I didn't do anything. His father asked me.
You
to.
Said, oh, my God. You should have said no and told him that's your
go
job, too. I'll teach you so you can teach him.
That's
but
not
I'm not going to do your job for you.
That's
exactly.
Not my
it's not
I
your
told
son.
Him he can work for me.
Exactly. You have your son-in-law come and work for you. Okay, so then he learns, you show him the ropes or what have you, and then he teaches his son how to do it. You teach the man. He teaches his son. Okay?
Let me see.
That's how it works.
Okay, I guess, you know, this is the problem with the matriarchy.
That's not matriarchy.
You got to wait, bro. You ask me a question. This is the thing. Like I said, 1965. What was ever Black America became this matriarchy, whatever it was.
It was matriarchy long before that.
Hence is why you mentioned that you told your daughter what she was going to do with this man's son before you talked to him. You did
here's
say that.
Because I'm the damn patriarch, and guess what? I didn't tell you. I didn't tell him. He came to me.
And
you told your daughter that her son with that man was going to come with you at
the if anything happens to us, my son is coming to you. I don't want him anywhere near around my family.
You said you told your daughter that the 12-year-old is coming to work with you. That's what you said while I was up here.
You said that, bro.
I already talked to my son-in-law.
That's matriarchy.
That's what happened.
I'm talking about the lie we just caught you in. You said that you told your daughter.
Come on, bro. No feminine energy. No call.
What are you talking about? It's not feminine energy if I caught you in a lie. You lied. It was feminine to lie.
Come on, bro.
It's feminine to lie.
No,
identifying something as feminine.
Come on, bro.
He chipped himself up, man.
He sounded like Bernard Riley panel, bro. Come on, man.
Sounded like Bernard Riley panel because you came up and lied. When you
bro,
want it?
You calling a man a liar, bro. You might as well.
Because you lied.
What the fuck are you?
You lied.
Oh, my God. No, another man retarded. Come on, bro. That's shaming language, bro. That's black female.
Just stop doing stuff that's shameable.
Bro, you believe the black woman is God, right? Black woman is God. That's
I believe you're a liar.
Black woman
you
is God.
Distract
right?
All you want. I'm too smart for that.
You right. Say, he's been doing it all day.
Black woman is God. All right. Anyway, Mandrell, what was your point, bro?
And no, anyway. It's no anyway. It's not going to roll like this. You said that you...
No, bro, I don't do
your daughter,
this
for
men, bro.
This 12-year-old
is
going
old,
with you.
Bro. I'm too old for that.
Then you claim shaming language.
I'm too old,
you say
bro.
That because
no
you
claims,
keep saying
bro.
Somebody,
old,
that's pornography there. This is feminism. You keep claiming somebody is doing something, and then when you held accountable about it, like Big Mike just said, which is why you told your daughter what he going to do with another man's child, which is literally what you just said, then you flipped it into, oh, no, you know, they told me if something happened to us. You lied. So we say you're a liar, and then all of a sudden it's feminism?
You calling another man a liar, bro. Now,
because you lied.
Here's the deal, bro. You call another man a liar, you sound like a straight bitch, bro. Here's the deal. You call another man a liar, you better be prepared to come
the
to another man.
The bitch is the nigga that lied to other males on the internet.
Shit, bro. That's bitch-ass nigga
the bitch
shit,
is the nigga that lied to other niggas
bro,
on the internet.
Get out of here, bro, with that bullshit, man.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Men, bro.
Bring the real you out.
That's
what I'm talking about. It's easy to get you bitch-ass niggas. It's easy to catch you niggas. You lie like a bitch. You lie.
As I stated. In 1960,
but you lied. When you say
the
shit,
the
you lied.
What happened to the black community? But world class
you're a liar.
Is the result of it.
The result is that I caught you in a lie, and I've been up here for like 2 minutes. So you don't. What you don't understand is men are not going
to
allow.
Let me know when we get
men
back
are not
going
to allow weak males
up.
To come
no,
up and lie to us and act like you bought something.
Dude,
you're not gonna do that.
Here's the thing. Your easy out was to say it was a slip of the tongue, and we could have just moved forward.
Right. Exactly. Like a bitch
defending it, and we all three of us on the panel heard the same thing.
All of a sudden, I'm a bitch because
I
caught you lying.
I don't believe Big Mike.
If you calling another man liar a liar, that lied, then you're a bitch.
Okay, I don't believe Big Mike is on that feminine energy.
I am the one who did pose the question because I heard it too. Now I'm not going
to. Here's the thing.
I posed
the question. I'll respond to you, Mike. If you got a question for me, I'll.
Damn, you doing the bitch nigga shit when a nigga holding you accountable.
Are we really
you trying to move,
this,
move the goalposts and run around and ignore a nigga when he's speaking. You doing the bitch nigga shit.
Here we
and
go.
We,
I know.
We,
no, we've been
for,
here. We ain't going anywhere. We're here.
It's for
you trying to do the finesse
no,
feminine
bro,
shit to run from one side to the other.
I don't talk to niggas.
Niggas court your shit.
I don't talk to niggas, bro. Now, Mike, what was your question?
Why the fuck are you up here talking to niggas then? The fuck are you talking about?
Mike, what was your question, bro?
That's what I asked, and this is what kind of led to it, because I'm like, okay,
exactly.
If the matriarchy is the problem.
Can you re-ask the question
so we
can get back to it?
Because you were saying the matriarchy was the problem. I said,
well,
how are you going to your daughter and through your daughter about what she's going to do, telling her what she's going to do with another man child? That's supporting the matriarchy.
No, bro, it's not, bro. There's no matriarchy whatsoever in my family. My family has never seen one bit of the matriarchy. As I stated, I told my daughter what was going to happen. After, man, I've been done talking to the, as soon as she was pregnant, I had a long conversation with my son-in-law. We had a great conversation. He told me if anything ever happened, your grandson's coming with you. Ain't nowhere to be nowhere near around my family. Then. It's what it is. So when my daughter came to me talking about business and all this, I said, cool, 12 years old, he's coming with me, and I'm going to show him the ropes. That's
what if his father's alive at the time?
Did you not hear what I said? I spoke to his father, came to me first when my daughter was first pregnant.
Yeah, but his father says, okay, at 12 years old, he's coming with you.
Yeah.
Why didn't you say no?
Why should I?
Because that's not your child. It's
why should
the
I, bro?
Father's
my
child.
Bro, here's the deal.
Right.
Bro.
It's not your. Hold on. It's not your job to raise that kid.
Bro, raise? What are you talking about, raise? I said he coming to go to work. He's raised. Yeah.
I'll say this.
You didn't work at 12?
But what we're getting
you
away from.
Yeah, I used to cut grass around the neighborhood for right. like $5. You know what I'm saying? But
I didn't work for a transportation company at 12, though.
Okay, 12. He's learning how to drive a truck. He's learning how to fix under a truck. He's learning all that stuff. He's learning how to deal with
real. I got you. And big on you for that. Good job. However, what's the dad doing?
Did you not hear what I said?
I think
at 12, my grandson is coming to me.
I got it. But what's the father doing?
I don't want to get too far past the point we were really trying to make. So let me ask this. What happens if you don't make it until he's 12?
Bingo.
Then what happens to your business? What happens to the money? What do you want to happen to the money from the business? Because what we're trying to establish is you're pretty much saying that we as descendants of slaves should be cut off from work that our forefathers did, from our inheritance. Hold on. You're not going to believe them when I pull them. I pulled them. We know where we're from. But
show me the receipts of the work, bro, and your family put in.
I don't need to know.
Out there picking cotton, bro, and getting whipped and all this. Show me the receipts.
I don't need to show you receipts of that. That's not your business. Just know it happened.
Well, you want reparations. You're going to have to prove to the white man.
Just know it happened.
That's something called the head. Go look it
up. If you want people to pay their tax money going to, you know, you for absolutely nothing when you said you was a stoic, you said all this, man.
But what does that have to do with me showing you the receipts? You can't give me nothing. So why would I show you the receipts? When the person comes,
your family put in the work, and I'm like, show the receipts.
You're not paying nobody.
Okay, why do I need to show you the receipts?
What is it about? That's what I'm asking.
Here's my thing. You want to see receipts, right? He says he wants to see receipts.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to believe the receipts. That's cap, bro. That's
right,
cap.
Right. It's all real history. My thing is, some of your receipts can be the White House, railroad.
Come on, bro.
Regular road.
Okay, let's move on. Let's get back to the topic, man. Now we
got every time you count it, you want to run.
Did your family build the White House?
It's something in history called sanguinity.
I'm talking about Big Mike. Big Mike said his family.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. That's his family. Whatever niggas did all the way in California, Florida, that's his family.
His family.
You can have a compartmentalization shit if you want. He can consider those people his family.
Black woman is God type shit.
No, bro, like, look, I just don't have to.
The only person talking about black women is you.
Right. That's a fact.
If y'all are okay with the dysfunction and all that, cool. That's on y'all. Me, I stay away. I stay far away.
You got to be up with it because you keep bringing them up.
I stay far away.
You keep saying
you stay far away, bro.
If you stay far away, why does it bother you so? One of the rules of stoicism is that you don't sweat the small stuff.
I don't. That's why I stay the fuck away.
You brought it about like 18. Brought up like 18,000 times.
That was the topic.
How do you stay away from you then?
We were talking about the subject over on Bernard's, and it led into basically we're talking about black men being male leadership being deficient.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the main reason that deficiency exists because niggas that live in this fantasy world of black America live under a matriarchy. You ain't
no, it's dumb niggas that don't follow hierarchy. It's a grandfather that's going to take a 12-year-old from the dad. It's weak niggas that don't follow hierarchy.
Take.
Oh, okay. All right.
Tate. Mike, ever went to your grandparents' house over the summer, bro? You my age, bro.
I did, but my granddad didn't tell my mama what was going to happen.
Hey, your family different, bro.
We went to visit. But, yeah, my granddad wasn't telling my mama what she was going to do with me, and he definitely wasn't circumventing my father.
But, okay, cool. But here's the thing. Bro, we different. But we come from a generation where the question was, did you go to your grandparents for the summer?
Yeah.
That was the big thing back then.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's all it was, man.
And guess what? When my granddad said I would work with him during that summer, that's what I did because I was in his house.
So what the heck is the problem here? What is the disagreement?
Because he was in his house. You didn't hear the last part?
I was in my granddad's house, bro.
My grandson came to my house.
I was visiting.
He's going to work.
I was visiting. So if I'm in his house, if I'm eating his food, if I'm taking up the AC, I'm going to do whatever work the old man asked me to do.
Right.
My grandson come with me at 12.
Gotcha.
Show him how business works.
I'm like, Trey.
Hold on, let me respond to Mike. My grandson is not moving in with me. He's going to live with his parents. But that summer thing, when he comes over, when he comes to spend time on holidays, when his parents want to get away or whatever, drop him off here. I got him. What? Is there
okay.
a problem?
I asked you, if you're doing this, which is what a man is supposed to do for their child, not the grandchild, there's a hierarchy to this thing. There's an order, a structure. You're skipping the line, brother. What is the father doing?
I am the lion, bro. I am the lion.
No, you are not.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say your daughter run the white boy.
No, you are not.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say your daughter run the white boy.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
He's a racist. Got it.
No,
that clears it up. Thank you, Mike.
What?
Your daughter runs the white boy.
No,
she
runs his house.
She what?
He runs his house.
He runs his house. How? When he's giving his son away to the grandfather.
Okay, let me repeat this again. Just like Big Mike said, from our generation, I'll say it slowly.
My question is, why is he saying it slowly? He's 11 Bravo. He's infantry. I know what that is.
I'll say it just like me. I was 11 Bravo.
There are plenty of things he could teach. Yeah, I was 18 X-ray.
Okay.
Bro,
you tag on Long Tavern, you acting like this, bro?
Yeah, my thing is, the things that he should be teaching his son. He should be teaching his son.
Mike,
he should be another way. He should be another. The father should be at your house learning all those things that you're going to teach his son.
Mandrell, did you hear what I said, bro? My son-in-law does not do my business.
I get it. He should learn it.
If he doesn't want to, he don't want to. But me and him shook on it. All right, cool. My son's going to come learn this stuff from you. This is what I'm going to teach him. All right, cool. You need some help with the fun?
Oh, so he is
going to
teach us the stuff. Okay. Just saying.
Man. You know 11 Bravos, man. Shit. You know how we do, man.
They ain't never home. I know 11 Bravos. Y'all ain't never home.
Yeah, but it's the thing, though, bro. We hold it down, man. You know it is what it is, man.
God damn. I'm just saying, bro. I'm just saying. You had me. Man.
Oh, shit. Hold on, man. Hey, fellas, y'all hold it down for one moment. I'm going to fill up the coffee, okay? Can I do that?
Okay.
Y'all don't go nowhere. I'll be back.
Yeah. I was like, man, I was wondering, what the hell is the daddy doing then? I mean, why are you doing this job?
Bro, but Mandrell, here's the thing, man. And this is what I mean, the difference. You know, there is no monolith in amongst black people. There are certain people whose families have come down a different line who operate a different way. My family has always been a patriarchy, forever. As far back as I ran the genealogy back, there's been none of this poking in there, feminism, any of that stuff. So therefore, the way I operate, my son-in-law, he saw that, and he was like, I prefer you and the way you get down, the way you ran things over his family.
So why did you do it to pick him?
Because he was a virgin to me. She found him. I approved him.
So she was a virgin to you. Why she just don't get a 12-year-old or the baby to him?
A what?
Oh, you don't speak English now.
A what?
Why don't she just give the baby to his dad? Is what he's asking.
Is he a virgin to you?
If he's a virgin of you, yeah.
Basically, her words, she reminded me of you.
Okay.
Cool. I mean, I met him. He asked me at the whole night, asked me for the hand in marriage and all that stuff. All right. I vetted him. It is what it is. Cool.
But you didn't think he could teach him how to work at 12?
Bro, he asked me to do what I do. My son-in-law does not do what I do.
So he don't do what you do?
Before the Army, he was a drummer and a baker, and he likes to shoot guns.
Mm-hmm.
A banker?
A baker.
Oh, baker.
A chef, not a baker. Not he was a chef.
How old is this kid?
Hmm?
How old is this kid?
Shoot, I don't know, man. He's like 31, 30-something. I don't know. But, yeah, he was a chef before he joined the Army.
How long
did he
join the Army?
He's a drummer and all that stuff. What is he doing? Hey, I bought my grandson a little baby drum set for Christmas. Now I'm getting, I told him when he's two, I'll get him a bigger drum set. He said, look, I want my son to be a drummer like me. I said, okay, cool, I'll help you out. you need the funds, I'll help you out. You know, he said no, but I, you know, of course, you know, I'm going to slip him a little something every now and then. And I told him, don't say no.
Okay.
Yeah. What's so funny?
Yeah, man, Joe, you see why I walk around here unblemished. That's how easy it is.
You see why I just stuck. I'm just like, okay.
It's one thing to deal with people that are not studied, and then it's another thing to deal with a liar. We'll make up stuff as he talk. I can understand the people that are not studied because I know how much they pay for people to not really understand true information and true history, which
well,
is weird
what,
to hear
what,
somebody.
What do my degrees have to do with my bank account?
Hey.
You know, what do all my degrees
I didn't,
have?
I don't remember saying your name.
I think you said, like I said, it's third person shit, bro.
I really.
The education.
I really don't. That's not third person.
Stuff.
It's not third person. It's directly
bro,
to Mandrell.
Man.
That's not, you don't know how to count. So
I was
talking to
energy,
Mandrell.
Bro.
I know.
Energy.
I know. You seem to be good at it. But at the end of the day,
man,
when you don't know history,
okay,
you just say stuff that really doesn't make any sense.
You
for
know what the white man told you, right?
I know. That's cool. That's what's up.
The white man gave you that.
I know, but I'm in the middle of talking, feminine guy.
Do you make love
in? I know, but I'm in a feminine. I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of speaking, feminine guy.
Hey,
I got
Trey, let him talk, Trey.
I know.
Man,
his estrogen is raising. But people that study history, again, I will always camel back off etymology. So when you're studying history, you can actually know what's going on because I think you said it earlier, Big Mike. When you study history and you've seen words that are used in a time where that connotation didn't exist, you're going to get a serious confusion on what's going on.
Right.
So when you see transatlantic slave trade, slave comes from the word Slav, as in Slavunkian, Scandinavian. That is a person with pale skin. I would urge you, go look on the internet, find Candace Owens, and she's explaining the same thing that I'm saying, since y'all love her so much. Transatlantic slave trade was us selling white people. George Washington was a slave. Your first president, even though that wasn't the first president, that's a slave. A slave is somebody, as he explained earlier, Trey explained earlier, somebody that has to work for a certain amount of years for somebody, indentured servitude, and then they're free. They get to keep their nationality. They get to keep their religion. They get to keep their name. That's not what we got. What we got was dehumanization.
Right.
The reason we got dehumanization versus what the Slavic slave, a.k.a. white people, got is because we're royals. Over here, which is 86% of y'all are from here. We operated in a republic, meaning every single person has the right of a king. That's why you look in law, you'll see Rex this, Rex that, written in Latin, because Rex means king. That's why I urge people when you really want to dial in and know what stuff is, you have to know etymology and you have to know parse. I keep saying parse because that's the Latin and syntax. So you can really get an understanding of, because you can't really know history until you go into those other languages and kind of see it for yourself. So that's why I look at people and then the value of understanding history is like these guys on these panels. Like I've been doing what I'm doing, trashing these people to give people an incentive to understand some of the stuff I do. Because I've seen these people 6,000 times in history. You just seen me for the first time because they make a lot of y'all. They don't make a lot of me. See you 6,000 times in history. So I know how stuff progresses. I know where they start and I know where they end because they do the same damn thing. That's why I was able to figure out that, okay, cool. In a biblical, from the biblical standpoint, they're looking for the Antichrist. But it's not the Antichrist. It's actually the anti-Mary. And there's one lady that came out with a book before I figured it out. Her name is Carrie Grayson. I actually got it on my channel, on my live. But because I understand history, I'm like, okay, shit, if there's supposed to be an Antichrist, it's supposed to be an anti-Mary. So when you look at anti-Mary, when you look at who Mary was and you look at females today, which I call modern women, which they're not modern, they're obsolete, and they're not women, they're females. When you look at it, everything about Mary, they're doing the exact opposite. They give up their children. They'll kill their child. They don't want to have children until they're 30. Everything about what they do is completely opposite. They rebel against the rebellion. The word marry actually means rebel. And that's what she was doing against the, I don't want to say Rome because it really wasn't Rome at the time. I know Rome was a part of them killing them, but it was those pseudo-Jews, a.k.a. Khazarians, that was on that spill. But learning history, learning etymology is like a, it's like a cheat code. And so when we get into these conversations and these people want to say we don't deserve reparations, y'all can do it as long as I'm not there. That's all I can tell you. I'm going to have a field day with you because these congressional records.
Keep your hand out longer, bro. Keep that hand out.
They're congressional. Venezuela, they got reparations. That's not a handout.
Look at Venezuela now, bro. Can you go fly the Caracas right now?
It's called reparations. It's called reparations. If that's the case,
situation like
here
right now.
If that's the case, then when you get a claim for your insurance, don't take it.
A claim for insurance is reparations.
Yes, when you win the case and any of your insurances, don't take it. Because it's called reparations. That means repairing something that was injured.
Repairing.
That's what
justice.
That means.
That's what.
And this is why I stay away from niggas.
Hey,
yeah, because niggas read and you don't.
Hey, Free Zone Lou. Let Free Zone Lou get in. What's happening with
an idiot
you,
nigga
man?
That don't know what words mean? I hear you.
Go back, Free Zone. What's happening, man?
Hey, what's good, man? I was listening to World Class Cook. I ain't know that stuff. So I came in at the right time. Trey was kind of fumbling. He was fumbling, but I understood what he was saying from a patriarchy standpoint, because I know a lot of families that are structured that way, where the grandfather is basically the head of the household. So if he wants something done, it's going to get done. Also,
hey, Free Zone, is that the grandfather of the wife or the husband?
Say that again.
Patriarchy, remember? Is that usually the grandfather of the wife or the husband?
The husband.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, why he didn't take hold of it, like the son, I don't know. Maybe because he's not directly tied to the family, whereas the kid is. Maybe it's military, because those types of people who work are hardly ever home. So, you know, you have that closeness that you can, the grandfather can, the grandparents can fill in where the parents don't. It just gives it an extra layer of security. I'm trying to understand the argument of the raising, like just because he's giving him some work, I don't see where the raising is, but I think all that got lost in the conversation.
No, my whole argument was, if you have such a problem against matriarchy, how come you went to the child's mother to make a decision about the well-being of the child as opposed to getting the blessing of the child's father? That was pretty much my question. It seems to be undermining the concept of patriarchy, in my opinion. But
did I clarify that for you, Big Mike?
And you clarified.
I said the father came to me.
And you clarified it, which is, you know, that was good enough for me. But what we're really trying to get into and trying to dig into is there's a difference between begging, and there's a difference between wanting reparative justice for things that were lost. There's a difference between that. And like Noble brought up the insurance claim, that's a perfect example. Because if one of your trucks get wrecked, you're going to get that insurance claim. You're going to
No, that ain't reparations, bro.
That's reparative justice. Reparations.
The fucking word is reparation. It's called reparation.
Justice,
that's what it means.
That's meant to repair and make one whole. When they gave the concentration camp survivors' families reparations, that was to make them whole again from everything that was taken. That's what that means, bro. Like, look, we can't change the definition of words because we feel like something different. That's why there's a failure in black male leadership.
I tried to keep the dog at bay, bro.
If you can take it to court and prove it, and you're compensated for it, I don't see no issue. California's trying to give money to all types of black people right now. So
facts.
For slavery.
I don't know how that's gonna. It's just with everything my only concern is with everything that's going on with hyperinflation and just on a financial basis, I'm trying to see how that would actually be feasible in a time such as this, because it seems like it seems like it would do a lot more damage to the economy we already have than if that didn't happen. But
it's
going to
destroy
what's your take on it?
It's going to destroy the economy. It's going to destroy the economy, but an economy that's built off of what it's built off of has to be destroyed. The government takes money and gives. Look, you just lived through one of the largest transfers of wealth in American history, and that was the pandemic. Yeah. You just witnessed it, and you see that we got, what, 9% inflation right now.
So y'all want the U.S. to be like Zimbabwe or Venezuela. You just chaos. You just want all of daggone the United States to look like Negro America, to look like Blackistan, Niggistan, all the dysfunction. You want every day to look like Miami Beach last week, to look like Chicago on every given weekend. That's what you want the U.S. to look like. Cool.
Hey, man, look. The U.S. don't look like that now.
Bro, I just asked you, do you want the U.S. to look like that? If you give reparations to niggas that don't deserve shit, everybody else with their handout, including the Transformers, including these daggone ratchet freaking baby mamas of every single race, every other identity group is going to put their hands out. And that just as y'all both said, that's going to cause hyperinflation and turn the U.S. into Zimbabwe.
The U.S. is already Zimbabwe. They just keep using your tax dollars to kick the can down the road, bro. You don't get
that's a convenient take for somebody that comes from slavery. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
When it comes to insurance,
you come from slave owners.
Yeah, I hear you. I know.
You're slavers. He said slavers. Not slavery. He said you come from slavers. So you come from the slave owners.
If it popped off again, nigga, I'd buy you.
No, you wouldn't. You'd probably be dead. I promise you. You'd be in a river somewhere with your shit blown the fuck off. That sounds cute. You'd be a nigga I shot in the fucking face in front of your family.
That's what I would do, world class.
I doubt it. I'd shoot you in your fucking face in front of your family. That's what I would do.
Get the fuck out of here, world
class. I come from three generations of hitmen. I'm much more skilled than you think.
Three generations of women? Oh, that's cool.
Hitmen. Hitmen. People that shoot people in the fucking face.
Okay.
Bitch boy. So when, because reparations would be an insurance claim, it would not count as taxes, just like insurance.
You got that passed down to you. You're proud of that.
So what happens is the Federal Reserve system that we have, what it teaches you is that what moves the economy is transactions. Because whenever money is moved from one bank to the next bank, that allows them to do the money creation process and allows them to loan money. So that fact would allow people, to allow the economy to sit where it wants. But the problem is going to come with weak-ass niggas like this. They have a problem with people having stuff that they deserve. That's why he said he don't deserve it, but we haven't been to court to find out if they deserve it or not.
Bro, what the fuck have you earned, bro? You came from a family of hitmen. You said three generations of hitmen.
Yeah, I did.
Man, what does your family earn?
Hey,
what did they earn?
You get money for hits, bro.
Oh, my. All right, bro.
Peace, man.
Get your fucking weak ass out of here. Yeah. A lot of these niggas are somebody until I show up. Me and you are nobody.
Did he leave? Like,
of course he did. Well, don't they always leave?
They always
They are
do.
So big until I come.
They always
and then I
do.
Crush these niggas with facts.
But the thing
there's
is...
there's nobody in my space.
How are you going to be in... I talked to my sister about this before. I said, how are you going to be on a panel with nothing but Sigma males and think you're going to come out alive with that bullshit?
I don't know.
You're going to get chewed up, dude. You're going to get eaten alive. Like, even me, I was going light with it. I was fucking with it. I was like, yo, man, you do realize that you just...
But, man, Drew, he's showing the same shit. You don't know how to read the room. You looked at me and assumed something you didn't, nigga. They show me how to hide bodies 10, 12 years old, nigga. You think because you went to the military that means something? Not. Right. Let me stop. Hey. Baltimore City is a hitman breeding ground. That's all I'm going to tell you. So that shit that you on, that you would slate, you wouldn't, nigga, we'd kill you. Second, like we know who you are. Just like people think it won't happen. 6ix9ine just got his ass whipped. It's going to happen again. You keep thinking you free. You keep thinking it. You keep thinking it's not going to happen. But with the hood is Nostradamus. It always predicts what the fuck is going to happen, nigga. So I'm telling you, you can do all that other shit, nigga. We got niggas that went to the military in the hood just like you niggas.
We
they
got
were showing us about pneumatic weapons when I was a fucking kid.
Just to learn the shit to bring back to the hood.
Fuck niggas.
Hey, man, this is what I was talking about, man. And like I said, I'm glad the brother came up and was able to give us another perspective so we could look at, even though we're going to dissect that perspective. I mean, this is a place for real conversation. This is not Bernard Riley's panel. This is not a Manosphere panel.
Amen.
I'm not a Manosphere nigga. I think the shit is pathetic. I'm gonna be honest, and that's the word I'm gonna use.
You can always find the Manosphere niggas because they always saying you using sign language while you're using sign language.
Right.
Always. All of them do it. 100%.
That's to get me, man. Like
it's my body.
It's
limited. You got narcissism. You're a bitch. Using sign language. They want to say, oh, just sign language.
He's just sign language. He's like,
you shaving.
Remember this weekend, even I said, I was like, I can't believe this dude just said sign language. It's like it was.
Man, look, bro.
It's feminine.
These guys, really?
You the only one that can make claims on a nigga?
Hey, man, these people are dangerous, bro. These people are dangerous. That's why I asked
you. You hear what we got them? Once they realize they can't do the intellectual shit, what do you start talking about? So you right. I had to disagree with you, Mandro. These incel niggas, these Manosphere niggas is the next terror.
They the next terrorist organization.
And I honestly think the white ones will be first.
The white ones getting it in now.
Damn.
Amen. I think they'll be first. And them niggas will follow.
Because you know, he kept deflecting.
No, it's
This is why
I had to hold his ass accountable because you saying I would take my 12-year-old, then you was counted, then you started flipping your story, trying to feed off Big Mike. You flipped your story and started creating your story or trying to clarify, but when you set it up front like you was a big dog, yeah, I already told my 12-year-old, my daughter, I'm taking the 12-year-old. Like, nigga, what you mean? They told you. Basically, your story is they told you what they wanted you to do.
I let them slide out I let them slide out.
Is that patriarchy for the patriarch to take orders from the children?
No.
That's why I wish I was on my pedestal. Never one of them bang bangs, nigga.
Yeah, I ain't got the bang bang. All I got is the silencer, man. I need to stop the silencer. I need to actually go with real shots. But we had this dude on here, man. Let me tell you, this guy, man, I don't even know the nigga name. He got a shirt on that says Big Ass Black Guy. So he probably wear that to the little gym and try to hang out with the white girls and shit. But anyway, I told the dude, I said, look, you in Macon, Georgia, bro. I'll be in Macon tomorrow. I'll pull up. The nigga got threatened. Oh, you don't want to pull up for all this action. You don't want this action you're going to get. First of all, nigga, we could go have a cup of coffee at the fucking Waffle House and talk about it, bro. I didn't say I'm going to pull up and do anything to you. But these niggas are so scary that they will do anything to avoid face-to-face interaction. They are scary as fuck. Soon as you tell a nigga that you offer a nigga that I'm going to pull up, look, what's the problem in meeting if we both are about the same thing? If we're both about the betterment of the black male in this country, then what's the problem in meeting? I'm right up the street, bro. But no, you think you're talking to a nigga across the country and you're just going to sit on the internet and flex and talk any kind of way.
You write down 285.
I'm right down 285. I'm literally 50, 60 miles from Macon, Georgia. I'm like, bro, where you at? Riverside, Zebulon, Cherry Street, where you at?
Uh-oh.
Where you at?
He's familiar with the area.
Bro, I was stationed in Warner Robins. I stayed in Macon area for years. I stayed in Macon area for years, so I know the area.
I ain't gonna lie, that was fun to do again.
Yeah.
It was. That was fun to do tonight. Thank you, Noble. That was fun tonight.
Hey, this man said, all right, Trey. Now, don't drop off, Trey. Trey said, you ain't about, man, Tommy B, what's happening, man?
What's up, bro?
Look, the word 304s, when you use the term 304s, I already know what time you on. We call them hoes, nigga. Hoes.
Right.
Hoes. Hoes.
What the fuck did that have to do with the conversation?
The white boys call them whores. The Italians call them whores.
The whores.
Whores.
And my thing is this. Why do I need to hold them? She's a grown woman, right? These are grown women. They can do whatever they want with their body. Why do I need to hold them accountable when it's men who are the Johns who are paying these women for their bodies? Why don't I go to the guys and say, niggas, stop paying for pussy, step your game up and get a real woman?
Y'all niggas that drove the price of pussies higher than the goddamn Dow Jones.
I'm just saying. Like, why would I hold a woman accountable? Aren't we supposed to be the leaders?
Because it's her turn to feel bad. That's all they know.
Man, Tommy, shoot, man. What's up, Tommy? Shoot, man. What you got?
I just hopped on, bro. I just got off of work. I heard y'all chopping it up. So you feel me? I just jumped up to holler.
Yeah, man. Most definitely, man. I'm glad
you missed. You missed another one, Tommy. There was another one up here.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
But he said, I'm not about betterment if I can't hold 304s accountable.
Which had nothing to do with the conversation.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Only people who keep talking about these chicks and the gynocracy and feminism is him.
He back. Come on back in, Trey. There you go.
All right, just for you, Mike. I was about to dip, man. But, no, man, I'm not trying to mess with your channel, man. I know how Google operates. Told you, man. I got a channel completely shut down, a huge channel shut down. So I'm not trying to mess with your chat using terms like that. But if you cool with it, let it rip,
bro. It's fine, bro. This channel's not getting monetized no time soon.
Okay, yeah. I'm just respecting your channel, man, because I know how Google be.
I appreciate you for that. I appreciate you for that, but you know, I'm trying to make a point about the sloganeering. See, because these are all signs of this ideology. And like I told Nate, I called Nate and I told him, I said, look, Nate, I got too much respect for you. I see Lil Big Nate as a leader of this space.
Oh, fuck Nate, man.
And, no, I fuck with Nate.
Nate ain't my homie, man. Nate violated, man. Nate violated. Now, what Nate did, you know, and this is the world class, bro. You know, I don't get into that stuff anymore. I grew up like that. What Nate did, I should have pulled up on Nate's ass for what he fucking did.
I don't know what Nate did, but I know Nate is my
he
dude.
He did some sucker ass shit, some dumb ass shit that could have got him fucked up.
Well, Nate, my dude, I can't let you do that to Nate on this platform.
If you just do the research, go on Baller X channel, you'll see what Nate did. He did some sucker ass stupid shit.
Well, you could put it in the back chat and I'll put it up for consideration. But like I said,
one-on-one. I'll tell you about that another time, just me and you.
I got too much respect for Nate, which is why I had to call Nate and let him know that I was getting ready to set off a nuclear bomb on this motherfucker about the Black Manosphere, because I'm tired of it, man. It's taking too many kids. It's fucking up and twisting their mindsets. Niggas is getting out of here with upside-down value systems. It's not going to do us any good in the future. So the slogans get on my nerves, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I hate the 304 term. I hate the word disingenuous. I hate resting in my masculinity. I hate getting the bag. I hate all of these little terms and slogans. I'm not a Black Manosphere dude, bro.
I told you, I'm like banned over on Bernard Riley.
Yeah. And we really just want to tell these dudes, man, just help us get the price of pussy back to equilibrium.
This one I'm trying to figure out. This ain't nothing to you. What's his name, Trey? Because I don't even know him. But like, who is part of Black Manosphere? Because literally everybody said they ain't part of it. So who is part of this motherfucker? Because I'm confused.
Pearly Things
is the Black Manosphere.
Nothing to do with the Black Manosphere, man. They just trying to claim her.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to apologize. I got out of character. You know, wifey looking at me like I'm crazy. My bad, world class, for getting out of character. I promised wifey I wouldn't get into that stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. But my apologies, bro.
Well, that's big of you, man. We appreciate that. That's big of you to do that. Yeah. I'm saving your email address right now. I see where you put it in the chat.
Yeah, don't set me up, man. We one-on-one, you know, talk about what took place. Like I said, man, I ain't got no smoke for Nate, but we was cool. But, you know, he brought a female to an argument, man. Could have got me fucked up at home.
Uh-oh.
And that's some shit, man, you don't do.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he wasn't thinking about it in those terms. But I do feel like Nate is a leader in this space. I feel like Nate's the only person that pulled off the Black Manosphere meetup. And I was there, in which case they tried to hold me accountable for that because I asked Bernard, if white supremacy doesn't exist, why the fuck is there a Black and a white manosphere that everybody knows that they acknowledge?
Amen.
Why do they acknowledge that?
I'm over there on the main side of the manosphere, man. That's where I'm at. You know, I'm over there on that side. I ain't over there with the stuff. I come over every now and then to support my Pizzos. You know, the hood servative is my ace boom. You know, I come over there to Bernard when he's on. But outside of that, you know, I'm cool with them guys, but... No, man, ARC died. That was it, man.
ARC?
Alan Roger Curry.
Who's that?
Yeah, he was, you know, him and Obsidian used to go back and forth back in the day. But even he pulled away, man. You know, and I'm cool with Angry Man. Me and Angry Man from the same place. We're both from VA and shit, same age. So, you know, I rock with Angry Man back in the day, but it just got too toxic.
I don't like Latinos talking about niggas.
Man, Angry Man a nigga, man. That
nigga ain't no
fucking
nigga.
Latino, man. That's a nigga,
fucking
man.
Fucking nigga, man.
He a nigga from VA.
Hey, man, I want to see pictures of his folks.
That nigga from VA just like me.
Hey, a lot
you know
of...
from New York?
From VA, bro.
Oh, I thought he was from New York.
He got pieces in New York, but man, he's from VA, man.
That's where,
oh,
that's
wow.
where the, that's where the Puerto Rican's from. That's the Puerto
oh,
Rican.
Oh, wow.
Side.
That's news to me.
But like,
wow.
Look, people getting real comfortable talking about us. And look, them days is dwindling down, man. I'm gonna be honest. It's to the point with me where if you don't think we deserve it, I don't need you out in public saying it. Because what's happening is you fucking up my bag. I don't need anybody publicly arguing against it.
But that's the thing, man. That's where open debate is gonna have to take place, man. If it eventually went to a vote, it's gonna have to go to Congress. There's gonna be both sides are gonna have to argue it. And it's going to be an open debate, man. It's going to be on the news. It's going to be in the barbershop, airwear at the dinner table. It's going to be an open debate on both sides, for and against.
But I don't feel like I'm a, and I don't want to take this off the rails. I don't feel like Jamaicans should be in a debate. I don't feel like Haitians should be in a debate. I don't feel like Africans should be in a debate. And there's too many of them niggas talking.
Respect. I agree with you,
There's
bro.
There's too many
just...
of them talking about our business when, look, if we don't do good, y'all don't fucking do good. And that's the that's the fact of the matter. Y'all should be banking on us to win because y'all should be banking on us to win.
I speak on it from my dad's side, man. That's why I look at it from my dad's side, man. Like I said, my dad passed this down and knows before him, man. That's, you know, my American side. I come, you know, from that side, and, you know, we get it. But, you know, best of luck, man. If it happens, it happens. But if it don't, man, like I said, I'm still going to make that paper, bro. But y'all take it easy. And, again, man, like I said, my apologies, world class. And I hope we can do this again, Big Mike. Hit me an email.
All right. I sent you one already. We'll talk later.
All right,
Trey.
Take it easy, fellas.
Thanks, man.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I can't have him talking about Nate on here, though, man. Like I said, I called Nate and told Nate I was getting ready to blow a bazooka off in the fucking black manosphere today. And we've been doing this about 4 hours, man. What are y'all, what's on y'all mind? What y'all thinking, man? OG, man, I lost the StreamYard, man. Not the StreamYard, but the Blog Talk, it went off, man. So the time is up for the day. I got the cheat package this go around. Last time I was on, I had the whole $99 a month package, all the free phones that you want. But check this out, J Speed. Let me give you let me see something. It has to be a way you can call in.
Mm-hmm.
J Speed, do me a favor. I got it to where I could do my phone on Bluetooth on this Rodecaster Pro. So let's see if we can't get J Speed on it. J Speed, you got my real number, don't you?
I ain't seen OG J Speed in a minute.
Yeah, I ain't seen you in a minute. I was asking about you the other day, man, so definitely want to chop it up with you. All right, so.
Yeah, what I think needs to happen with this manosphere is, first of all, there is no manosphere. There's no manosphere. I mean, it's nothing but simps and fake alphas and fucking. How is there a queen in a manosphere? Forget who she is right now, but how does the manosphere have a queen? And then moving forward, like the next point is, how is the queen in the black manosphere a 6-foot-tall white woman who a year ago had like 15 subscribers or some shit?
Hey, Jason.
Like, how does this happen?
Pete, I'm going to put my number in the chat, man. Give me a call. Hold on.
Hey, man, don't get it, man. Your real number now.
I think he said he got it.
Yeah, you got my number. Call my phone, J.C. Hit my line. You should come up on the Bluetooth here on this here. So let's see here.
Yeah, I don't think there is. So there is no manosphere. You got people going to pearly things. Like, for what?
It's a fucking YouTube algorithm. That's all the fucking
is. Here we got J.C. Hold on. J.C., you with us? J.C., you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Can y'all hear J.C., y'all?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Hey, yeah, put me on speakerphone. Put me on speakerphone while you get that bomb man drill up there, and the same time you got world class. You can't put them on the same damn screen. Man, your association don't went down.
Hey, look.
But good to see all you brothers out there fighting back. I just did a show on the Pearly thing when I did Melvin Van Peeples Classified X-Files and show people this is nothing new. He did this way back in 85, showing how the movie industry did their thing. Now, it's the same shit but a different toilet. That means we're doing it now. We're doing the same thing that they was doing with the movie industry on YouTube. And you made a good point earlier, I think, that was scandalous. I think that's what we call it, that scam likely. Watch your wallets, guys, and your lady's purse. But anyway, you got to understand, when they prosecuted Bill Cosby, I lived in that generation when women used to go in the club and say, what you got? What you partying with tonight?
Right.
You pull out some uppers, downers, redder, cocaine, they called girl back in that day. That's what the conversation was about then. Music, getting high. But then you bring it in 2010 and you try this, man, for something that happened 30, 40 years ago. You can't get the mindset of how people were thinking back then. So that's why he was prosecuted, but he never should have been wrong in the first place because, you know, they do something different with us in the first place. We already know that. But yeah. There's not really a manosphere anymore because the dust, you have the residue from the dust of the manosphere. You had 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, and they all got mad at each other, and they scattered like a nuclear bomb right in the middle of the manosphere. So some are claiming it, and some are not claiming it, and some went the other way. Some guys you don't even hear about anymore. But when you have Miss Dar today or Susie Chapstick that comes in the manosphere today, and that could be men too. You can go on some of these shows at nighttime. Anytime a white man comes in the show, all the questions always go towards them, like he's the second coming of Jesus Christ or she's the second coming of Virgin Mary, which had already had two kids. I don't know how in the hell you reverse yourself. So, I mean, the whole shit is crazy. That's why I got out. I don't even do interviews. No, I do interviews, but I don't do panels. Because the reason why I don't do panels, okay, I'm going to tell y'all a joke, and it's the best joke I've heard in a long time. There was two men having a debate, and one asked the other man and said, do you know why the two vegetarian species on this earth, a rabbit, one eats vegetarian, and he shoots pellets out of his ass? And the other one is a gorilla, and he just make a squash mess when he shit. I mean, do you know why that happens? And the other man said, no, I really don't. He said, that's why I'm not going to debate your ass, because you don't know shit.
Right.
So if you don't know shit.
I like it. Let's go.
If you don't know shit, why am I sitting up there and trying to debate a baby who still got Similac on his mouth? And just like I say, he don't know anything.
What's the carbon date on that joke?
Just like me. Huh?
What's the carbon date on that joke?
What was that? A word? I can't hear you. Man.
I said, what's the carbon date on that joke?
I don't know. I really don't know. But you got to be pretty old because you know I signed the damn Ten Commandments. So it got to be kind of old.
Not I signed it.
So, what I'm saying is, it's just like me when I'm learning the apps, I'm learning new software. I'm still a baby in that. That means somebody's younger than me is teaching me something that I still got Similac on my lips because it's new to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when this new generation, these things seem to be new to them because they are new. But these things are been circular ever since we got here. And no one is talking about that. And this is how a lot of our people invest in people thinking somebody's bringing you something new. But there have been a lot of Reverend Huffenhollers and Reverend Ike and house of prayer. I was at, what was that guy who was supposed to walk on water? We don't seen all this shit before.
Right.
So we gotta get our microphone just as loud as them. You know, anytime you got a movement, the people are not going to be in, they're not going to be in your pages. But if enough of us get out there and we got one or two, three people coming on our channel, that's more than having 700 who don't give a fuck about what you're saying. They just want to be in a place that is full. Right. They ain't listen to really shit you say. So I just wanted to drop that in. And other than you having big ass head Mandrill on your show, you know I'm going to be trolling him wherever he go at. And he know why.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to give up till we get him back on our team. He been drafted, and I'm trying to draft him back, trying to, you know, offer him a better contract. And yeah. So if I can get him back on the team again, then, you know, I'm going to have to troll him wherever I see him at.
Hey,
but anyway, y'all have a beautiful day, man.
OG.
And I'm still out here.
OG, answer this question real quick before you go. Are NCLs the next terrorist organization? I would like to hear your answer on this.
That's old news. You ain't see these motherfuckers killing people, killing girls and going into school. Think about it. That's old news.
That's a good point.
Yes.
Real good point.
That's old news. And that's where they're driving these guys. Well, like, for the guys who can't go to be passport brothers, can't leave out of their own county, what you think they're going to do? They can only look at so many porn videos, and a lot of them women are dead now, so they're going to get tired of that. Then they're going to start killing our daughters and stuff. Yes, yes. These incels are the new of this land.
Thank you for that, man. I appreciate you, JP. Thank you, OG.
Yes, sir.
Peace. You seen?
Man, don't listen to J-Speed, man. Y'all ought to know better. That nigga too old to know anything.
Peace to you. Peace to you, too, brother. I appreciate you, J-Speed.
Don't leave yet, J-Speed. Why are you running?
I'm running because I'm running because if you pull out that damn dress and put on some heels, bro, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, man. LeBron, that ain't never happened. You hear me? I tried to help.
You're going on that side of the fence. If you keep
I ain't going inside of this bitch.
You go, hey, I want you to listen to these very two words I say. You going to get sucked in.
Literally.
No.
What's going on? How we get right here?
Hey, that
you mentioned me because I tried to help the gays out.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you need that's a serious loss.
I got word. They've been on your ass about that.
Yeah.
Bro, they've been on my helmet about that shit.
If I do it this video, it'd be about that. Madrill the race trader.
hey, look.
I tried to help him, though. I tried to help him. What do you want
you
to
let
do?
Let him ride a Trojan horse and got your men attacked. That's a military failure right there.
Hey, he got his men's attacked.
His men.
Men's.
insert gay risk.
Yeah, you got your men's with the list. You got your men's attack. Hey man, Dre, don't ever do that shit no more, man.
No, I said it. No, I announced that last night. I actually came up and announced it last night. I'm done with the subject. I'm never revisiting this again. I'm never talking about this again.
Yeah, I heard they tell your ass up, boy.
This is it.
Tommy, don't use terms like they tore your ass up when we talk about this.
I did that on purpose.
Yo, we ain't tearing no ass up on the Big Mike. <No. laughs>
I tried to help as best I could and bring black people together. Just because we're different don't mean, you know, whatever and so on. And I tried to help black people, but...
But see, that's why when I was talking to Noble earlier, that's why I don't be on that Kumbaya shit. Hey, man.
You can't make the girls... Here's what I found out about this whole experience, Tommy, and everybody on this panel. Listen, what I learned about this whole experience is that can't make Negroes happy, man.
Can we not call it an experience, Mandrill?
Some of them. Yeah, you know what I'm just saying?
I'm just saying.
Nothing I say is safe now. Nothing I say is safe.
That's a fact.
You created
the
environment.
Leave your boxes. And the thing is, you're right, Nova. I can't blame nobody but myself.
That's a fact.
I can't blame nobody but myself.
Hey, man.
Damn.
I'm like, damn, man, Dre, who the fuck you think you are? Dan Rather or somebody? You trying to, you know what I'm saying,
you know,
shed light on the counterculture?
Since you here, Mandrill, since you here, you know what, I will.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Since you here. I had noticed the thing she was talking about in terms of the walls you built up. And then you said the walls that you had built up to not, I can't remember exactly what you said, because it was like a couple, I think it was last week. And then you realized once you took the wall down, you was able to, I don't want to say, I think empathize was one of the things you said. But what I recognize is I did the same thing, because like one of the things I used to do was, it's like if it's not, I was the ultimatum type of guy. It's either perfect or fuck you. And then when I realized I was wrong for doing that, because, you know, you get to a place like children, for example,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to put them in that position. You know what I'm saying? Because they're babies. And then once I correct it, I overcorrect it. That's what I recognize you've been doing. You've been overcorrecting. And then we all do that. It's a normal thing. It's not being especially bad. I did the same shit. Like, we overcorrect things when we realize, damn, I'm like that. I'm like this. I'm like that. Shit. Because you don't do it genuinely. Like, you don't do it intentionally. You're making a genuine mistake. And it's like, damn, I don't want to be like that. And I don't want to look like I'm this type of person, even to your own self. Mm-hmm. When you go through your memory, you got to almost have reconstructive history on your life. It's like, damn, I'm really been that. So how many things I missed? Then we do this over correcting. So that's why I ain't jump on your head. I figure your gas will run out. But I overall, I'm glad you're making your new. I'd be trolling you, but I'm glad you making change, because that's what we do. We want to see people grow and develop, and it's awesome. It's cool.
I'm glad your wall came down too, bro.
leave it to them niggas from Mobile, man.
You're still gonna get these jokes though.
Niggas out in the swamps, man.
Hey, man, I can't help it, man. You left yourself wide. He left you wide open for it. You didn't say nothing, so I was like, yeah, I'm glad your wall came down.
But no, but yeah, I see what he's saying. I'm trying to find equilibrium with it. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going on. I'm trying to find balance with the whole thing.
Hey, man, Drew, listen. I was with you for about a half a step, and then I had to let you go ahead and float on with that one, buddy. hey, listen. It's certain hills I ain't dying on, bro.
I ain't dying on none either. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Nigga, you was deep-rooted. You was up there fighting.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm at the bottom of the hill, like, hey, man, Drew, good luck.
Hey, look,
Thomas Shell show was. Thomas was out of there. Thomas was nowhere to be found, like, at all. I even called Thomas on the phone. What's up, man? The subject never came up, not once.
Hey, nigga, I'm from the Bay. Hey, I'm from the Bay, nigga. I know how this shit go down, nigga.
You could have warned me, man. You could have warned me.
Hey, Tommy, you got a cigar for him, bro. Give him a cigar, bro. Cause
no, not right now. Not what he hit me about this.
Bro.
I ain't putting nothing long and thin in my mouth ever.
Yeah, you might want to get that shit about 60. Get that shit about 60.
Y'all got to stop.
Get that shit about
60. I need to see.
I'm going to put the cigar in my mouth sideways and smoke it from both ends.
Hey.
You know,
you
got
to smoke it with a fork.
Right, I gotta smoke your
fucking.
Hey,
it's
some tongs or something, man.
I'm trying to help him, bro.
Hey, look, bro. Like I say, give it about 60 days. You got a little doo-doo. You got a little doo-doo on your digital footprint right now. but I'm telling you, it's gonna get better, bro. I'm with you. We in your corner. We in your corner, man. You know what I'm saying? Just go in the grass and wipe that shit off, man. It'll dry up soon. I promise.
It'll dry up. Listen to it.
It'll dry up.
The funniest part was when he was doing it, Noble was in the chat.
But Mandrell, why?
right. I didn't say I didn't say nothing, but I did see in the chat.
But why?
And I was like, I would calm down, and I started chuckling this shit. I started laughing this shit. But Mandrell,
so
why?
Disappointed. I was so disappointed. So disappointed. I just,
why are you trying this? Hey, listen, I got. It's an honest effort. I got to at least try.
Hey, man, you took a shot at journalistic greatness. And I applaud you for having the courage to do that.
Shit.
I really do.
Appreciate it.
No, but man, I called Mandrell and told him about it. I'm like, look, man, I was actually encouraging him to try to get more trans involvement. You know?
Yeah, I can't do that.
I don't know any of the trans or whatevers.
But what made me mad was when you did it again. That's when I said, yeah, we lost him. He's gone.
Now we lost
him. He's out of
here. Hey, Mandrell, you know that meme where they had a meme with the little emoji where it just has a straight face? I think that's that look that Noble gave you. I don't even have a face for you right now, bro.
He's probably sitting there like this.
What's the famous, Kenny Rogers, man? You got no one to vote, you got no one to hold, you got no one to vote, buddy. You held that hand for way too long, man. Yeah, Tommy threw them cards in fast in the motherfucker.
The game even started, you threw the hand in, Tommy. That's what happened.
Oh. Hey, I thought.
Gave
it
your special.
Hey, one thing Tommy don't do is lose money.
I heard that. Now he was a guy. You know, the Wednesday show happened. That was the first one. It went over. It was real good, real good. That following Friday though.
That's the one I hated the most.
I know, but
that was the one.
I tolerated it because Shishi was there.
Right. That Friday show came. Boy, the hounds came for the ass. Bruh,
pause.
What I'm saying is, I mean, I didn't know that from that Wednesday show up to Friday, like the shit was boiling up, like you know what I'm saying, like people were boiling and chopping at the bit to get out of.
They couldn't wait to get to the barbershop.
They couldn't wait to get to the barbershop, bro. Barbershop came and then Black Man said, "Hey, you can invite them. The other Conscious and Reckless, you're going to." I said, "All right, cool. I'll see what they say." So I sent them a message and said, "Hey, here's a link to it, the show. You invited to come, whatever." They got there, man. It was like almost instantly. Yo.
Y'all niggas ain't sending it to me. That let me know.
But can I knew it was a thing, Noble. There's some things I know full well.
But can I reword? Can I reword that? Can I reword that? It was a lot of challenges. We can't say stuff like they came for their ass. When we're talking about this, bro, like you got to be careful what you're saying. But like,
that's true. There was a lot of challenges. I'll agree. There was a lot of challenges.
It's not they came for their ass, bro.
Yeah, too much.
It's too much. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of challenges, man. That was a good God. I was like, what's going on here?
I had a sexual challenge.
Man. And then came, what was it last night? It was last night Black Man did a show. This past Saturday, Freezy and I went over there. Yellow Pill was over there. Over there with the quiz. And he was trying to get the queer community to see that there are heterosexual people out there who don't hate them. I'll just tell them, say, that's true. There's plenty of heterosexual people who don't hate them. I mean, I don't think there's many people out there.
Most people don't hate
them. Yeah, I think most people don't hate them. From their perspective, most heterosexual people do hate them. I was like, that ain't true.
That's not even
that true.
Nobody even think about that.
Why don't they get blamed for running the victim Olympics?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think they do. I think everyone takes it that way.
I think people hate obese people more than they hate gay people.
Like I said.
Yeah, you know, I think so too, because you can't hide that. You can hide gay, but you can't hide fat. Mike, get in the gym, man. Mike, I'm going to help you out, Mike. You're going to become a client. You have to buy one of my programs.
I'll do that.
Yeah, you got a job. You got a business you own now. You got the money. You got to buy it.
I'll do that. Hey, look, I can
help a black owned business time, and spread the word about it too. That's more valuable than your money.
Look.
I mean, look, I'm a big guy, man.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, well, that's all it is, Mike. I mean, that's what, 6 months. You'd be right, right?
But you know what, Mandra?
6 months, you know, you'd be right. 4 months, really? Five months to the most. You'd be right as rain,
but
man.
But, Mandrell, I'm going to tell you something that nobody's done out of my 14 years of what me and Tommy do. And nobody's never thought about our asses while we drive. Like, I only know one dude since I had truck drove. Every state he went to, he hit a gym. So he was just, like, hooked on the shit. That's the only truck driver I ever known like that. But, like, you truck driving, bro? You know what I'm saying, Tommy B? Tommy B can, I'm like, you just trying to get it, and you got to get your sleep, you know, and if somebody can figure that part out, man, you won't have to work no more, like, for real. Because, I mean.
All right, I make this shit look good. These niggas be fat as fuck. I'll hop out there at the truck stop, and my wife be putting these.
They be looking like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, Tommy. Yeah, see, the thing is, Tommy needs to get his fat ass in the gym too. Tommy, you got to buy my program too, man. One of them at least.
Man, you're 6'4". I'm only 195, buddy.
That's it. And that's all. Yeah, he got no muscle mass, so he
I lost 50 pounds, nigga. I was 250.
Yeah, he's where he's supposed to be for his man.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's actually yeah. I was ready to joke, but that's
right,
like
there,
man,
to be.
I'm 6'4". I'm 195. I'm like, fuck you, Tommy.
Regular walking around. What do you say? What do you say? What do you always say? You do all them push-ups just to get hit with this 40.
They asked that nigga Allen, why you lift no weights? He said, because them shits is heavy.
I agree. Right.
But like I said, Tommy would probably have my back on that because it's a lot. I still don't even know how some of these truck drivers pass their physical, their DOT. I really don't. I mean, like,
yeah,
I'm
that should
honest.
Be crazy.
I'd be like, yo, when some of them niggas get in the truck, the damn dog on the mattress be like, damn. Because
them niggas be dying in the back of their trucks a lot at them truck stops.
Real talk.
Damn,
real talk.
Real?
Yeah, that's real talk. That's real talk.
I never knew that.
Nigga, I done woke up to an ambulance at a truck. They couldn't get in contact with the nigga. And they was in the truck dead 2 days.
God damn.
Yeah, man. And Tommy will tell you, like, okay, it's like for me, and Tommy might agree, but Flying J is or was one of the biggest truck stops where you can maybe get some halfway decent food, and that would be a fucking salad. But all the rest of that shit, ain't no truck stop or nothing out there good for you. Like, it's connected to some type of restaurant. Like, if you're not on a regiment or something, or you're not disciplined, like Tommy and some other people I know, man, yeah, you're going to see a lot of that at the truck stops.
I couldn't even imagine giving a trucker like my diet because you may know where you're going to be, but like, I don't know where you would go to get.
Is that
hard because you got to be able to park the truck and most of the
another
thing. I will give Flying J no credit is they do offer a lot more fruits and shit now. So you go in there, they got cups of pineapples, grapes, apples, they got boiled eggs. If you want to eat healthy, there is options there for you to eat. Now, they have been striving to go more towards the healthy side of shit, but as long as these niggas drinking them goddamn big-ass cups of soda, you feel me? Problem.
And then driving.
And they cheap as fuck.
Yeah, and the Monster Joints and the Red Bulls, bruh. Come on, man. Come on, man. And Tommy, you already know what they're doing after that. They ain't even no drink no more. We talking about drugs, man. I just got to stay up and get the load done.
Yeah.
Man, come on.
Oh yeah. Hey, but Mike, did you finish the video?
I did not.
Okay.
I know,
that's what we do. We go on a tangent. We get the content.
I'm gonna be honest. There's really no need to finish it because I was just really trying to make the overarching statement.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really about the actual subject. They were being disingenuous about the subject. Nobody was trying to be upfront about the subject. But I just wanted to illustrate where I feel like the deficiencies are in black male leadership. These people are considering or trying to be leaders in this community, in this space, and they just not equipped. They not cut out for it. They just not cut out for it. So that's all I wanted to illustrate tonight. So y'all get over there and check the video out. You're not really going to be able to understand a lot of it because it's just a bunch of bitch babbling, niggas screaming and shit. Niggas screaming in the shower and shit, you know. But in the shower.
We're going back to Mandrell stuff.
Hey, look.
Screaming in the
the show.
OG J Speed said I was over there and it was very sad. Yeah, it was just poorly put together, no, man. I expected Bernard to come over here and try to maybe defend himself, but maybe he doesn't feel like he has to. I would say keep on doing what you're doing, but the pride come before the fall. And look, I'm here. I'm going to call y'all niggas out at every end because, like I said, I do believe you incels are the next terrorist organization. And the things that y'all celebrate and big up when it comes to, you know, just certain things, I won't even get into the details of it. It's sick. It's sick, and it's actually contrary to what we're trying to accomplish in this society. What's your last words, man? I'm going to get up off here. It's almost been 5 hours. So I'll go through, man, and you know, y'all can jump in and say what y'all like to kind of.
I'm going to go ahead and go.
No, let me go first because I got to get ready to go on the air in less than 30 minutes.
Okay.
Hey,
Mandrea, be careful what you say.
All right, I am, but goddamn. These dudes out here, there are no leaders out there. Listen. You got fake alphas out there, okay? And again, they run. They run when I come up on the panel. And I try to be nice to them. But they see when I come up there, they run. Noble comes in there, Noble comes on the panel, it's over. They shut up or they leave. And when he speaks to them, they still shut up. And these guys lose before they realize they've lost. They don't even realize they lost. But these are not worthy adversaries. These are not worthy adversaries. They're not ready to lead anything. You couldn't let... Man, they got the nerve to step over my sister. You believe that shit? Oh, that chick shoo-shoo. Oh, okay,
I can believe it.
Hey, I'm over that ghost watching, and I'm hearing these guys drool over my sister, Tommy. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, nigga, I wouldn't approve of you. You can't lead nobody out of a fucking... You could be in a wide-open field. Okay, and can't lead her to air.
Shit.
Damn.
So, I mean, I would not approve of these dudes out of here. I mean.
Hey, if you were my brother-in-law, I'd take you fishing and you wouldn't come back.
You're right. You know what I'm saying? And then my sister asked me, what happened? It's such a...
And nigga fell overboard.
He fell off the boat.
Nigga fell
damn
off the boat.
Shame what happened to that man.
Ain't it? Damn shame, Tommy. How can you and Tommy and you, Tommy Nova, Big Mike, Bernard, all y'all's out there, y'all can save him? Nah. You know what I'm saying? Shit just happened like that.
That nigga went on.
He died a little bit.
Right.
He just stopped being here.
Hey, he just stopped being here. Right, Nova? He just stopped being here. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Let me finish his beer right quick. Right.
Right.
You know what's so sad about this whole situation? The backgrounds that all of us have and the skills that we have with him saying that, yeah, it wouldn't be a good look.
Just saying, I mean, if it happened to me, they know, but you can't prove nothing. So what's the difference? But no, these are not worthy adversaries. And to address the elephant in the room, I tried to do a good thing for some people, black people. However, everyone had valid points, okay? Mike had valid points. World Class, you had valid points. Tommy B ain't say shit to me. Hey, man, fuck it.
That's a valid point.
Right. That's okay. That's a valid point.
You understand that they're not black, they're gay. You get that now, right?
I get it.
Hey, what they
bang.
There is a difference. Bang, bang.
Hey, they're G1. They're G1, okay?
Okay. All right, but Mike, thanks for having me here, man.
Thanks for coming.
Not a problem, man. You know, I was in the gym doing work, and I'm doing online coaching starting next month, officially starting next month.
That's a lie because you started this morning.
I know. I'm saying officially, the official opening of it is next month. I mean, okay, so if you see me on Instagram posting videos of shit and me working out or whatever, don't laugh. I'm in the gym doing work, doing what I'm supposed to do. Y'all shut up. I mean, I'll be working out. I ain't even be doing nothing fruity or no shit like that.
You just got to worry about them watching you. Oh, look at Ben.
When I see, if I see one of them queers, as you call them, liking your shit, I'm going to clown you. I'm going to make a video. I'm going to, if gonna happen.
It's advertisement, Noble. I gotta advertise on Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, I can agree.
That's
I have to.
That's fair.
Hey, Noble, you know what you're gonna see, Noble? Hey, Big Mike. Hey, Tommy. Y'all know what y'all gonna see? Y'all gonna see a repost of him working out on somebody's you know.
Yeah, Noble gonna clip it up.
No, I ain't talking about Noble. I ain't talking about Noble.
Hey, look at that. That's horrible.
They're going to be simulcasting your shit while you're doing it. Ooh, can we get another set? Let's get one more set in, family.
So, you'll see me make a YouTube channel here shortly. That's under construction for the fitness stuff. And possibly, I mean, for me doing shit like this, like Noble and Big Mike. I gotta, think about that too. That's under construction too. Don't know what I'm gonna do with it, but we'll see. But one will be about fitness. That's for certain.
I got a health and fitness thing coming up with my guy here that do fitness. He do like deadlifts and shit. Like pretty ripped.
You know, I just started deadlifting like a year ago.
He been on it for about as long as I kind of showed him how to be vegan. Well, kind of gave him some information about being vegan.
Yeah, it's one of the go-to exercises everybody say. I mean, that's like my deadlift is